Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the June 10th, 2008 budget hearing for the Los Osos Community Services District. Tonight we'll be introducing the budget. I think final action is scheduled for the 19th this month. I think that's the night. Yeah, a week from Thursday. I see someone at the lectern. Yes, briefly.
Can you hear me now?
I will do a roll call right after this. I wish next time that you have some way you want to see the meeting run that you'd maybe address us ahead of time, but go ahead.
Well,
a point of order.
Disabuse me of the following facts if I have been misinformed. As I understand, the budget was transmitted to the board Sunday. Not talking about 2 weeks ago Sunday, but Sunday. And here it is Tuesday, and as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure everyone else in the audience is the same, they have not seen this until this evening. And also I'm informed that tomorrow night the budget committee, or rather the finance advisory committee, is going to be discussing this. And with all due respect, this sounds like a little bit of putting the cart before the horse. It seems to me, and that doesn't seem to me, but I believe that based upon past experience, not only on the Financial Advisory Committee, but past experience on other bodies which handled budgets. This is a process that should have taken a lot more time of doing vetting of the figures so that you could get a report. Missing also.
And we did put out a notice about it, so let's stick to things that we can do something about.
Well, some things we can't do anything about. I noticed that Taxpayers Watch is not
point of order,
either,
Mr. President.
But in any case,
point of order. There were supposed to be brief comments. This meeting was set up for a workshop. Let's start the workshop. The budget was given not 2 weeks ago. We got this budget Saturday. It was scheduled for the workshop for this night. And the workshop is to allow public, and let's get on with it. Let's do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Sparks. I believe that was Mr. Golden's point, is that we just saw this, the board, Saturday, not Sunday, but late Saturday. Not much time, but this is just an introduction, and the final action won't be for 2 weeks.
Well, my final comment, as much as I am not in favor of PowerPoints, the folks in television land are going to have a hard time following what's going on. And anyway, I hope I have not used up all my time because I may have some things to say on the specifics.
And the PowerPoint's a point well taken. No pun intended. Let's have a roll call, please, Ms. Vega.
Director Schicker. Director Sparks.
Here.
Vice President Tacker?
Here.
President Sasania?
Here. Maybe to start things tonight, to address some of these concerns, is there a way to put this on our website, the budget information, this packet?
There is.
Maybe that would help some. I'm not sure how many people want to look at it that way as opposed to a hard copy, but whatever we can do to get the information out to the community would be a good idea. Did you have another comment?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mr. Shemp, you wanted to introduce things tonight, and then I think what we're going to do is have the fire budget presented first, then we'll go through the water utilities department, and then you will wrap up all other pieces, but I'll let you maybe explain some of that.
Thank you, President Sasania. First order of business is to introduce to all of you our new part-time accountant Amparo Haber, excuse me. She's been with us only doing 20 hours a week, and it's been a lot to catch up, and you've been with us a little better than a month, I believe, but is here tonight to assist. We've worked together through this budget. A couple of general comments. We're new, but it's obvious that the CSD, since its inception, has not had proper financial accounting system management, and this opinion is supported by the audit findings, which you will see next week. AMPI and I are not familiar with every nuance of the budget, but we're getting close. We are concerned about the status of capital budgeting and the capital budgets, and you'll hear more about that as we go along. But officially, there's only one designated capital fund, and that is the fire department's vehicle fund. We're going to be rectifying that soon with some board resolutions. But you will see in this budget the beginnings of capital funds for the water department. Also a concern is the lack of an official replenishment plan for the bond reserve fund. And again, we've put that and the drainage and the two little assessment districts. And then I'll finish up with Fund 900, which is the recreation, Fund 650, which is wastewater, Fund 600, which is, I may have those reversed. One of them is a wastewater, and the other one is solid waste, and we'll finish with Fund 100. That's all I have at this point, and suggest we start with Phil.
Yes, let's move on to the fire budget, and let's hear from Chief Veneris.
Mr. President, members of the board, appreciate the opportunity to come here once again. You have before you both the executive summary and the budget that we put together. A couple of things I'd like to point out prior to starting with this is that the ESC did meet on on May 20th and looked at this. It was a slightly different budget at that time. There was some additional revenues in the budget, and so they had allocated it to the sinking fund and some other areas. The budget has changed structurally since then, but still, at the ESC's recommendation, there is no changes in the special fire tax. That will be before your board next week, and it will be for you to determine. So I would like to point out that they have looked at it, and they made no recommendation to change the special fire tax. Additionally, this budget has was included in the special or the strategic planning a couple months ago, a change in the CAL FIRE staffing. This budget does not include that change of staffing. So it will continue with this current level of service that you have requested for the last fiscal year. So as we go through there, you look at the revenues. There was some minor increases and decreases with the revenues, both the ambulance agreement, the CSA 9I. There was a reduction in the transfer to property taxes from Fund 100, and there is a grant request in there that has coinciding expenditures on the expenditure side for the hazard mitigation grant that we talked several days ago, if you remember. So kind of summing up the revenues, it's a decrease from from the mid-year last fiscal year of $33,100 or 0.16, and this is about a 1.5% decrease. For expenses, if you remember, the fund 301 balance or budget is divided into two portions, one that CAL FIRE administers and one that the CSD administers. So I'll start with the CAL FIRE side. We tried to keep things pretty much status quo. The biggest jump on the revenue side, the expenditure side, is in line item 7,500. That is the Schedule A for CAL FIRE. There is an increase in the CAL FIRE Schedule A costs, and it's $17,619. There is an attachment to your budget. It's a cost service analysis, and it gives you an idea of what it is that you're paying for the total Schedule A, which is in your budget. There is some detail last year, and so it kind of skews the numbers a little bit, but on that side, it is increasing by $51,072. It's an increase of approximately 34.5%. And I'll correct myself, it's not an increase of 51,072, it is a total of 51,072, with an increase of 17,621. So to summarize the whole budget, it's totals 2,130,553, and it's approximately a decrease of about 1.5%. Can I answer any questions for you?
You answered a big one. Mr. Schimpf, do you have something?
Phil is being really polite. At my request, he has removed his vehicle from his budget. The funds are still there, but because we're still in bankruptcy, I felt that if he can limp through another year, that wouldn't hurt. But the funds are still there. He just didn't show it as a line item. In other words, we didn't take the funds out. And if he needs one next week, or excuse me, not next week, but if he needs one in October or November, then of course we'll do it. But if we don't, because we will be having a bankruptcy hearing this year, this coming year, I thought that we maybe not show a brand new vehicle. The other thing that he's being very helpful to me on is that, and folks on the fire committee are well aware of it, there was an additional amount of money that they had hoped to put in their general reserve fund. And we've picked that up as part of the Fund 100. And again, thanks, Phil, for not mentioning both of those, but they are out there and need to be mentioned.
Thank you for explaining the 34% increase in the CSD side of things. Okay. I was wondering where that came from, but it makes perfect sense now. I'm a little confused about the funds are there for the car. Where are they spread in the budget?
They're in his vehicle reserve fund. The 72, Phil?
In
72,000.
In the sinking fund.
In the sinking fund.
Okay.
Yeah. One other thing, Phil, do you want to talk about that grant? You talked about the funds you needed on one side. Do you want to talk about the other, the revenue? Yeah.
Okay. We have applied for a fire hazard mitigation grant, and that is shown in there. And I left my notes there. I grabbed everything but my spreadsheet. So as you look at in the revenue side line item, it doesn't have a GL number, but it says hazard mitigation grant. Shows $93,750. If we are successful, that is what we hope to receive from the federal government. There is two corresponding line items on page 3 or 4 at the very bottom under capital expenses. Again, there are no GL numbers, but that's part of the new system that we will be coming into, and it'll make more sense, but it helps Ampi on her side. It shows the two corresponding line items for expenditure. Our share out of the CSD will be $31,250. It's a 75-25% grant.
My name is Al Barrow. Thank you for allowing me to talk on this one. I have a question. As I recall, the CDF, when the fire department was transferred over to the CDF, included in their expenses a percentage for administration. I want a clarification of that tonight, what percentage the CDF is charging in their budget for administration, because I don't think we should be getting two charges for administration from the fire department. I think that shouldn't be part of the CSD's Fund 100. And the second issue that we have long and and very passionately stated was that we wanted to see the reserve fund protected in the fire department. And there's a good reason for that, because what we have to do is we have to pay for a new vehicle year by year by saving that money in a reserve fund. And as the equipment wears out, there has to be replacement funds available. We can't wait until it's time to buy a $350,000 four-wheel drive vehicle or a $100,000 fire truck or whatever they cost to come up with the money. And I think it would be a mistake for the budget to take that savings away. I think the expense, which is amortized, if I'm correct, over a period of time, as you depreciate the vehicle, the capital, then you have to have a replacement fund for it. So the two questions are, how much funds do we have? How much funds are we actually taking away from the fire department? And what is the percentage of admin that the CDF is charging to run our fire department?
Did I get an answer for that one?
As I understood it, there was two questions there. One was the CAL FIRE administrative fee for administering the contract. There is a 9.73% administrative fee that is included in the Schedule A. What that does is that allows, that covers the processing of payroll and all the other things that are behind the scenes on the Schedule A. So that would pay for above and beyond our services, but it's to work the CAL FIRE site has, and it's incorporated in there. It does not affect the reserve firefighters or any station functions. So I think I answered that. The second question was for the sinking fund, and I don't have all the numbers in front of me right now, but I'm going to ballpark. We have about, if it's fully funded this year, approximately $220,000 in the sinking fund. I'm kind of bouncing that off you. Okay.
We have in the CD right now like almost 106,000. Then we are going to move the 72,000, and that's what we are referring to as sinking fund. But we also have the 98,000 in this current year's budget to still transfer. So, however,
okay, we're budgeting I think a 4% increase. Did I answer both your questions, Al?
Thank you.
Okay.
You ask a question about an additional overhead charge, I believe, that perhaps we charge and as well as CDF. I think that was the question.
Yes, we do. For managing all of the equipment and Phil. And our charge, I think Phil indicated was, what was it, Phil, 34? I can't remember your number.
Are we discussing the transfer to administration or a separate fee? I'm not sure.
Yes.
There is no transfer to administration. Last year, I believe it was, the board voted to change the way things are done in the budget. So if you look at this on page 404, line item 9505, transfer to administration, shows a zero. And the way that is covered is instead of bringing in X amount of money through property tax and then transferring it back through 9505, the property tax is reduced. And so as you look at in page 104, if you look at page 94, page, if you look at GL number 9410, transfer in property taxes from 100, you'll see that the property tax was reduced this year by $41,891. And so that is, how the CSD is being paid instead of the transfer.
Thank you. And we certainly want to build up a sinking fund, certainly want to build reserves. You don't, like you say, start planning for a new vehicle the day you need one. Next.
Good evening, Board. Chuck Cribbs, Los Osos. I'm a past two-term member of the Finance Advisory Committee. And just to reiterate what Mr. Golden was talking about, I think this is a little bit, the process needs to be kind of looked at, so we don't need to get deep into that right now. But I've been up here before saying maybe you could use your committees and take care of some of the horsework before it has to go, right before you. But I'm here really, I could have, my comments could have come up in 100, it could have came in water, but I'm going to make my comments here and tie some things together that what I feel are important for the emergency services, because I am, in all the time I've been, serving on the committees and stuff, been, along with the majority of this town, staunch supporters of CAL FIRE and our emergency services provider. And we know the value that they give us for dollar spent, dollar, provided. And that that is our number one, priority in the town. So kind of bear with me for a second as I get to what I'm... I have had a chance.
I've got another minute to go.
I'm a little slow. Being a part of the Finance Advisory Committee, I have been through the vetting process of this budget 3-4 times. And we see what happens as we get into the after budget effects. I'm at this point looking at our legal fees, and I'll work back into this fire department thing. Fund 100 legal fees. That is, in my opinion, this year is going to increase. I know that we've got some coming out of wastewater, and I suppose we can explain that, about $150,000 and $260,000 planned for our Fund 100 legal fees. But each and every year that we have vetted the budget, we have always underestimated our legal fees. And I think this year is another potential year that we're going to underestimate our legal fees. Now, there are a lot of legal fees that are justified for a district. There's water adjudication, but most of this is funded by our water payers, less than half the town. That's a different subject. And we keep dinging at our fire department. Now, I know we haven't had the money to go on, but I'm the point now where I think that we really need to take a look at what's... I'll just cut to the chase here. In our legal fees, and coming back to where it's going to affect water payers paying more to administration and the fire department paying more to administration, I'm looking at some of the lawsuits that we have that provide no community benefit. Taxpayers watch. In my opinion now, is going to really put and take away some vital capital monies from fire department as we get into the year. And when I say provides no community benefit, maybe I have an open mind, but I think it's time we start asking anybody from Taxpayers Watch. It doesn't have to be Gordon Hensley. It doesn't have to be Joyce Albright. It can be anybody that can explain this.
Quickly, sir.
I'm just about done. That we come up and start explaining why there's a potential of spending legal fees that is not going to be a community benefit, and particularly it may diminish our ability and our level of sewer service in the fire department. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cripps. Next.
Richard Margetson. I do agree with Chuck. It is interesting that the people I called out last week to be here aren't here. I guess they're observing from a distance and manipulating from behind the scenes. The don't hit their goal. The special fire tax at this point to raise it, but then drop the property tax revenue to the fire department is just, it's a theft. You also have items in here under the CSD related expenses, and this is something you guys have to talk about tonight. There's three budgets that have a line item for the Bear Pride or outreach. You have 4,000 here. 4,000 folks is still $4,000 and can accomplish a lot. You know, at $250 an hour, that's 16 hours of legal fees. You know, at $165 an hour, that's 20-some hours of Anna Jane's time. You know, these things add up. The vehicle sinking fund, we hope that money's available to be put there from this fiscal year. And the $98,000 that was just talked about, we don't know at this point, because the audit shows that the fund balance for this year, you know, the $646,000 I keep talking about from June of 06, Anna Jane sat here when the question was asked, and I said, if Phil runs a surplus this year, will that number go up for 07, at the 07 budget? I mean, audit, the audit ending June 07. She said yes. Well, the new audit shows that the fund balance should be $828,000. So where is it? You heard from Joe last night the account balances that we have. These vehicles are going to come up real soon to be replaced. $520,000. We may have $200,000 on a budget that basically is set up with hardly any contingencies in any of the funds, other than the major contingency set up in any of the funds is the fire department contingency. There's some other assumptions that are going to come up later tonight that they may not work out. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Any additional public comment on Fund 301, the fire department?
Jerry Dillingham, Los Osos. For the history that I know of South Bay Fire, it's always had a surplus or a fund to replace vehicles. It's something that I think the department has took pride on, even when the department was a district. It was one of the first things that Los Osos ever had, that you could say community safety, community-minded. Didn't vote for the first fire tax, voted for the second one because I believed in it. And as far as I'm concerned, that money stays with the fire department. There shouldn't be anybody taking any money.
19. I would have liked to have about a week to go over this thing, but one thing that stands out to me here is on this this page here, this calculation worksheet that's buried inside there, they've got vehicle operation and maintenance costs for the fire department of $45,000. Well, if all you needed was gas, that's 10,000 gallons of gas or diesel or whatever they use, which would probably last about a month. So those things use some gas. I'd like to see that looked into, maybe patched up a little bit. Now, I am the paramedic fan. You know, when I have the big one, I'm flopping around and living with on the floor. I want some paramedics out there, and they reduce their expenses. A decrease of $6,300 was made, again, in the equipment expenses section. At least a semi-financial crisis right now, I think you'd do away with all drive-home vehicles for anybody. Now, if the Indians can drive to work, well, the chief sure can. If he needs some reimbursement for off-duty time or for operating his own vehicle on CSD time, they can be reimbursed through a system of logs or whatever. Yeah, this is sort of a... And then we have a, a recommendation by the auditors, or as recommended by the auditors, the budget includes for a part-time financial and administrative manager. Okay, that, that sounds like the definition for our manager's position there. Okay, and we got person new chief vehicle. Yeah, that's about it. We really need some time to go over this this whole budget and have another meeting, I think. Thank you.
Leon Golden. I just want to point out a couple of things. First of all, this is the since we contracted with Cal Fire, this is the first year when the increase has been an increase in the cost. And it's, as I recall, 1.6%. Now, those of you who have the misfortune of buying fuel in this economy know that that's not where it's at as far as the cost round. The other thing that I want to emphasize is that until we passed the ability to respond to two calls, and I think if you took a poll today, I would bet my last buck that everyone would tell you in Los Osos that that is the one of the prime things that we look for in our fire department. And in order for the fire department to deliver the two responses, they've got to have up-to-date equipment. Fire equipment is not your old Chevy that you can kick the tires and push it a few more 100,000 miles. It's something that needs to be first rate, out the door, every time, every morning, and you can't wait. You can't start budgeting for it when the equipment needs to be replaced. And so I hope you'll bear that in mind. And basically, I think every other department in Los Osos should keep their hands off the money that goes to fund the fire department. And I would hope that you could restructure this budget so that the reserves, the real, and I'm not talking about imaginary reserves, that there are real reserves for the fire department.
My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I concur with what Mr. Dillingham said, and that being, in essence, keep your cotton-picking hands off of our fire department reserve. You're not going to know when there is going to be an emergency needed to spend money from the fire department. You have no idea, nor does anyone else, and including the general manager. The fire department's reserve fund is just exactly what it says, a reserve fund. That fund is for emergencies. You don't know if your car is going to go out tomorrow, nor do I, nor does the fire department. So therefore, equipment is of a major importance to the protection of this community. You must have emergency funds. It must be there when you need it. You can't say next week we're going to get the money. Next week we're going to have the funds. It has to be when you need it. Don't take any of the emergency funds away from the fire department under any circumstances for anything. Thank you.
Do we have additional public comment tonight on the budget for Fund 301?
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I don't think I'm the person to describe this. Maybe Chief Inaris would be able to help us. I don't think a lot of people out in the audience know that when we sign the contract, I believe with Schedule A, we're mandated basically to update the equipment on a schedule. And maybe he could explain that a little more clearly as to what we're replacing. A vehicle can only be like 20 years old, not a fire engine.
Okay. I can pass that. I can do that then. Mr.
Veneris, could you repeat the question into the microphone that she asked?
The question was the time frames for wear out for vehicles. And so I can answer that. And it actually will go back to Chris's question in the back. And if I'd written down his last name, I could tell you what it was. And that goes back to the service cost calculation worksheet. If you go to that page, it's the very last page of the schedule. It talks about what the personnel costs are, and then it has a $45,000 and some change for vehicles. And so the vehicles you purchase, the vehicles are owned by the CSD, but that $45,000 pays for the routine maintenance. So we need a new tire. We need to put fuel in it. We need to do routine maintenance, like change a belt. That comes out of that $45,000 for the two fire engines, the reserve, the chief's vehicle, and the utility. And so that's where that, how that works, and that's why that's in there. But there's no money in there to replace vehicles. That calculation is based on how old a vehicle gets and how many miles it runs. And depends on the type of vehicle on which one it uses. Engines are typically replaced after 20 years of service, but you don't want to run a 20-year-old fire engine as a first out. And so the plan that we have in the strategic plan was to run a 10-year cycle. 10 years for an engine, you replace it, and the brand-new engine becomes the first out, and the older engine, the 10-year-old engine, goes to the second out, or is reserve-staffed. And so after 10 years, you buy a new engine, and you never have an engine that's first out that's more than 10 years old. And so that's how that works. For the smaller vehicles, we go on years and miles. It's kind of a combination. And so 10 years is about what we want. The Expedition that I'm driving now has about, I want to say, 98,000 miles on it, and which is really nothing, except that you remember it's an emergency response vehicle. And so it's driving up and down at, you know, I don't want to say high speed, but at high rate of speed going code 3 or with lights and sirens. And so you want to have the right equipment. And so that's how we do that. The older the vehicles get, the more maintenance, the higher that service calculation will be. Okay?
Director Tacker?
Chief Veneris, when is our contract renewal with the
for the schedules?
Mm-hmm. When are we?
You
doing
will it? See that, I believe, on the 19th.
So just next week.
Next week, yes. And again, the ESC, as their recommendation was, there's no change in the level of service for the schedules.
I remember that. Are we done with public comment? I have questions for the chief. Okay.
Director Sparks.
Chief Inaris, can you repeat for the public the uses of the public facility fee? That's about $50,000 right now.
It's I believe it's about $46,000, $45,000. Public facility fee is a fee that is placed or levied growth or new citizens as they come to Los Osos, and so it's kind of a fine line. And so if we had a big boom and I needed to put a new fire station or to buy a new piece of equipment to service the new residents, I could use that facility fee. But if a fire engine should fail and needs to be replaced, I cannot use that money for that. All right.
Okay, are we through with public comment first before we work too hard into the director's questions? Or any other public comment tonight on Fund 301 Fire Department? Yes, Mr. Schaller.
Lawson Schaller, good evening. I haven't had a chance to look at this, and actually this is one of my first times through the process here. When the equipment is retired, it sounds like mandatory has got to go 20 years, so I assume it's fully depreciated. Market value is probably quite low. But I'd like to know how they're disposed of. And then secondly, it sounds like, are we mandated by law or a CAL FIRE contract to buy new vehicles? On one hand, it sounds like the safe bet to buy a brand new vehicle. On the other hand, there are others who feel that once a product is on the market for 2 or 3 years, it's proven and some of the bugs are worked out. So that's another question. Are we mandated to buy new equipment? I'm just wondering if we can somehow, when we sell the equipment, if we can try to maximize the salvage value. And then when we go to buy new equipment, if we can save some money by maybe buying a vehicle that is 2 years old or 3 years old. Thank you.
The question number one was, as equipment is replaced, what happens to it? Prior to our arrival, you had an older engine and had worked to sell it. And I believe the CSD received approximately $5,000 for that engine. And it was an older engine. And Jerry, it was 22 years old or something like that? Okay. Right after our arrival, we did sell the Type 4 little mini pumper. I believe you guys had approximately $130,000, $140,000 invested in that lot through equipment. We were able to get $75,000 for that. So the market is not tremendous. We have budgeted within the spreadsheet for selling of a fire engine $25,000, and that's probably a little bit high, the way things are going. And that money in the spreadsheet is put back into this or to help offset the initial cost. And for the smaller vehicles, the utility and the expedition, we've budgeted $5,000 for resale value, and that may be a little bit more appropriate. As far as purchasing new vehicles, used vehicles as opposed to new fire engines, some folks have done that, but when a department goes out and spends $500,000 on an engine, it's not likely that they turn it around in 2 or 3 years without cause. And so I'm not sure I'd have to really look at an engine and evaluate it prior to buying a used engine and hoping to get 18, 17 years out of it.
Cash balance. Maybe it's something that you don't normally do with the budget, but it would help me, what we talked about in the office last week.
For the final budget, which will be on the 19th, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I could shoot for it. I have to tell you that I'm still trying to do some catch up on some, but I think the 19th might probably be okay.
Okay, and the reason I think it would be important, and the other thing that I would like to see as part of the budget packet, is a listing of the because we have to set the reserves every year as part of the budget. That's missing from this packet right now, and maybe that'll be there on the 19th, but we have to know where the reserves are. There's a lot of questions about that in the community, and that might help. Having that cash balance sheet and having the reserves, showing where we've borrowed to and from over the years, because this is a problem that we have that needs to be tracked. And it's going to take a while to sort out, I understand, but we got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
do you have any response on that?
I have been talking to John about the perplexing accounts, I call them. And I will, in analyzing these accounts, I will have to take the audited statement to be presented, and I'll start from there. Of course, if there's a fund, I will show a big fund balance. As somebody mentioned here, what offsets that? If it's offset by just plain inter-fund receivable, it's not any good if the other fund cannot pay it. It's like a bad debt, you know. Mm-hmm. And so those are issues that needs to be ironed out. And but presenting balances for the 19th is doable. The thing, another problem, too, is reserves. There are no reserves that I could see. All I know that the things that are clear are the fire, you call it a sinking fund, and then we have the designation for the public facilities fees. Those are the only things that are clear because they are in their own cities. But other than those, I cannot see any booked reserves. Mm-hmm. So the analysis will, you know, I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, as I try to get caught up, things get clearer. But one thing I can probably produce are cash balances where reserves should be. I'll give it my best shot, but. Okay. They're not booked in any places right now.
That's what I think I've been hearing from the community, too. You know, I'm looking at the audit, and as of, this is what Mr. Margetson said, as of June 30th, 2007, we were supposed to have $824,000 approximately in the fire reserve. Mm-hmm. Where is it? And those are the kind of questions that you're trying to find and look for, too.
Right.
And that's yes. why the other thing I wanted to ask is, could we have that cash balance sheet that would show the sinking fund, show the public facility fund? Because these are questions that don't show up on these budget sheets. Sinking fund does, public facility doesn't. It gets confusing for the public. So somewhere where we show all of that. The other thing that's missing from this budget is a copy of Schedule A, even though footnote 1 says that Schedule A is attached. So I don't see it in here. Am I missing something?
That
is Schedule A. That's the detail that you're talking about for Schedule
A. It is a cost service calculation sheet. The Schedule A, again, is, like I say, 11 pages or so.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to ask you, Chief Ranieris, is about the FEMA grant. You have it budgeted, but you don't know if you're getting it yet. Should you put a footnote on that?
We can, absolutely.
Just because you have it in the budget and you don't know yet.
Okay.
Okay, and then I think that was the only question I had for you about, other than the public facility fee and the sinking fund are the things that will show up on a cash sheet, but they won't show up on the budget. The sinking fund does, but the public facility fee doesn't.
I'll defer.
Is that true?
I'll defer.
Okay.
Now, the public facilities fees were received in prior years. And really, by law, they should not have been touched. And so, and they are in a CD mm-hmm. right now, so I know the cash is there.
Okay.
And that's really a clear mm-hmm. designation.
And another thing that we did last year to fix some of the problems that we had with our finances, the way they were set up, was we set up something with the county, so the payments go directly into another fund. Will that show on that cash balance sheet? Because some people said, keep your hands off the money and all that. Well, we can't touch the money anymore. We fixed that. We fixed the part that pays for the fire contract. So we will always have the money for the contract, at least that much. Like you were saying, even the reserves, even the other amounts you want protected. But we fixed a problem that the past had by commingling a bunch of money in one account. It doesn't happen anymore. And that will show on a cash balance sheet. That might give
it is happening. Yeah, those are those go to Cal Fire. They pay Cal Fire directly.
It's paid directly
and,
now.
We
don't touch
course.
It. It doesn't mix into our money. We can't abuse it. Right. Okay. And we never did. It was always paid. So that's all I have for now. I might have some more questions in a minute after everybody else has a chance.
Mr. Schill.
I know that you feel that the resolutions have solved those things. I have to tell you, resolutions are only for a year.
That's right.
And what we need to do, what we'll bring to you, is like the sinking fund for the fire department. The $72,000 that's budgeted and isn't there every year cannot and will not be used for anything else but vehicles because it's a designated capital fund. Mm-hmm. If you designate a capital fund, it stays there forever. It rotates over year after year after year. And we will be bringing forward to you a fund similar to that for the water department and hopefully for some of the other smaller ones so that we make sure that we have the capital funds that we need when we need them.
I would like the budget to have a footnote on that fund. It doesn't, item 9065. Can you put a footnote on there about it being a designated capital fund? That might help, too.
Will do.
And then also, can you add the public fire facility fee to the budget so it shows? And then also that it's a designated fund? Is that something you should or should not do in the budget? I'm just asking.
On the facility fee. Lisa, would you repeat your question on the facility?
Oh, I just asked if the public facility fee should be part of the budget sheet and show...
Forma, to show you what those are and... but if we can't, we think we will come in even before the December mid-year adjustment anyway to present those. But there are some missing pages in the budget process.
Director Tacker.
Chief Manaris, can you step to the podium? I'd like your help with my recollection of the Emergency Services Committee meeting of May 20. I wish I had the minutes. I do not have them. Does this look familiar to you from that night?
Which draft is that?
This is 3.
Okay.
Was that the last draft before this?
It's very close to that, yes.
Very close to the last draft. You were expecting $1,549,475 from property tax at that time. What is in tonight's budget is $1,462,454,000. And that's like a almost $90,000 difference. So let me understand this. Mr. Barrow almost got it in that there's an admin fee. Rather than an admin fee, admin is sort of scalping what comes off the top to you. Baited question, sorry.
Scalping is a... maybe not be the best term. What is happening, and I'll let Mr. Schempf here jump in at any time, as the money is transferred into Fund 100 and then is sent out. And so the initial budget that we started with, we went with a 4% increase. And as we went through the different drafts, that 4% increase came to, was reduced to what you see now at the $1,462,454. So that's the difference between those two.
For a percentage decrease, did you do that?
I'd have to do the math on that. I believe the percentage decrease is by the revenue section, not by line item. That is in your packet now.
Lisa, did you see? You saw it?
I thought it said decrease is approximately 1.5% for revenue.
The total revenues decrease is approximately 1.5%.
But not property tax is what I was asking about. So I think it's a little more significant. But so there's a lot less to work with. And in that meeting, I came away with the impression that CAL FIRE wasn't going to ask for an increase.
An increase in the Schedule A?
In Schedule A.
I believe at that point we had figured we would have it.
You had bumped it up a little.
Is it in that draft?
Yes, actually, you're right.
Okay.
It is here.
Okay. We would have had
so it did come up. What you would pay for that? CAL FIRE
routine
would pay.
Maintenance. So if the transmission goes, that would be under
that
the
CSD.
That
would be us.
Yes.
Okay, so a set of tires.
We pay for.
The lube oil and filter, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess something that was told to us when we went into bankruptcy was that we need to be able to operate as though nothing's happened. Bankruptcy is the past, and that is the past. This is our debt of the past, and that from here forward we have to survive. So the impression of having a new vehicle, it doesn't frighten me. That it's more important to me that you have the vehicle that you can depend on than that what appears to bankruptcy court. because the district must continue. So that's kind of for Mr. Schimpf, something that he said that, you know, he didn't want it to look like we bought a new truck when we agreed to buy you a new truck in our contract, and your truck is 10 years old and you need a new truck. Mr. Margetson brought up the Bear Pride, and I just coincidentally, that $4,000 figure is found in reserve firefighter training costs, line item 8405. Let me just say that I would much prefer to pay for reserve firefighter training costs $4,000 than a Bear Pride, and that I'd rather see the $4,000 from the Bear Pride go into your reserves. And I don't know how we as a board can make that happen, but I think we can. And I would like to see those funds adjusted accordingly, because it's important to get your reserve up. Those were all my notes. Director Sparks brought up the public facilities fees, and I misspoke last meeting and thought that those were held by the county, when in fact they're distributed by the county.
Yes.
And they are incremental to what development goes on in Los Osos. And where are those kept?
They're in a CD now.
They're in a CD right now. Okay, so they're safe there, here in Los Osos, in a bank. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
I have one point of clarification. I just want to make sure people don't misunderstand that the $4,000 that has been allocated for the Bear Pride, it's not a matter of Bear Pride or reserve firefighter training. Both are in the budget right now. So it's not like we have to pick one or the other.
No, but I think my point is that I'd rather not pay for a Bear Pride and see that $4,000 go into reserves. And coincidentally, $4,000 is what is going.
Fenaris, and before you leave, if what I heard is true, a lot of fires breaking out in the state, you have a lot of people heading out of state, we'll keep our fingers crossed and keep you in our prayers that you, your crew, and every other crew comes home safe without injury for the entire year. Okay, that wraps up Fund 301. Director Sparks.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions. Director Schicker mentioned the accounts, and again, as of April 30th, and these fluctuate, the general checking, which is typically operations, was at $700,000, and the LIF was at $878,000, realizing that approximately $270,000 of that is for the pool fund. So I think the question that comes up is, and those will fluctuate, on the LIF of that $600,000, I don't want to call that a reserve, but that is where you would really those monies would come from. And in looking at what we set last year, or what was set, I should say, what was set last year, the contingency water reserves for $300,000, the fire had a contingency of $100,000 and a replacement of $140,000. So, again, I know AMPI will be working that and looking at the previous reserve setting and bringing that back. But and those exclude those other funds you heard about. That excludes the Fire Public Facility Fund. That includes the Fire Sinking Fund.
Could you repeat those? I couldn't quite hear you on the levels set. Could you just repeat the levels?
The general checking is $701,000 and the LIF was $878,000.
No, the reserve levels you said that were set as of last year? I couldn't hear those.
The fire fund contingency reserve, 310, was set at $100,000, 320 replacement reserve at $140,000. And so in the water fund, there's a contingency reserve of $300,000. And then we also have an expansion reserve and a replacement reserve of $2 million each, but I think that gets more into the capital projects.
Okay, at this point, I believe we're on to Fund 500, Water Department, and Mr. Milanis. We'll hear from you now.
Thank you, Mr. President, Cecina, board, my staff, audience at large, and in the audience. as introduced, what I like to do is move through the water, drainage, and then 200 and 400 funds. And Chuck, I don't recall if we'll take public comment each and after every fund or not.
Your sum total.
Okay.
Yeah, all of your presentation. We'll take comment then.
Okay. Thank you. I'd just like to recap here a little bit about the Water Utility Department. We're responsible for the management, operation, and maintenance of the water system, serving approximately half of the community of Los Osos and all of 5 miles of water main lines, utilizing 3 water storage facilities totaling about 1.4 million gallons. And we're all connected through approximately 2,740 water service lines and meters serving residents and commercial businesses. I'd like to also include in that infrastructure for domestic water service, there's also 162 fire hydrants with some 365 main line valves that require annual periodic maintenance and inspection. These services provided by the utility forces not only assure the delivery of pure, wholesome, and potable drinking water, but also provides the essential water for firefighting capabilities. And just a side note, as we've been moving through our capital improvement projects, what we have found is the infrastructure is in dire need of replacement. We've been finding a lot of the water main lines are not capable of getting good positive shutoff. So, in fact, when lines break, or in the case of replacing a lot of these water main lines as we've been doing, we're finding we have to go back 4, 5, even 6 blocks to get a positive shutoff. The net result is, instead of impacting, 10, 20 homes, we're impacting hundreds. So this is just a reality. I'm only throwing that out there is, the infrastructure and your water system essentially is fundamental to the ability to fight any type of fire. So as we're looking and talking about reserves and who's, where we're pulling the monies from, well, we're all in the same boat together, so I hope we all keep that in mind. Moving on, and why I want to kind of cover this is, as such, the services provided to the district customers through the Water Enterprise Fund are labor-intensive services. So the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2008-09 and the revenue required to continue to deliver this level of service is tied closely to the costs of employee wages and benefits, which includes administrative staff, as well as the escalating costs for energy, fuel, regulatory compliance, and then you have the general repair and maintenance of your vehicles, your machinery, your tools, facilities, equipment, and process controls associated with the treatment and distribution of the water, enabling our employees to do their job. We just had, as an example, the 8th Street well replacement of that well at a cost of about $20,000. So there are maintenance and ongoing requirements that really keep us all in water. As with each previous year's budget, highlights new challenges and the set of challenges to be our waged. This year is no different. In retrospect, just looking back, the development of the Water Master Plan started in 2000. We projects themselves. And we are nearing the completion of those. So we've had a lot going on. Our strategic plan this year that the board adopted essentially lays out not only following through with the completion of these plans, but what I try to do is define really what are the challenges, what are we looking at in fiscal year 8 and 9. I think I can sum it up to basically three categories. First and foremost, the sustainability of our groundwater basin. That's, of course, being done through the purveyors meeting, public outreach and education for water conservation, and a water rate study. In regard to the Los Osos groundwater basin, there is a cooperative effort between the water purveyors to ensure the long-term health and viability of the groundwater basin through a cooperative management agreement. The fiscal year 08-09 budget has earmarked up to $70,000 for the district's portion to fund further groundwater studies and more sophisticated modeling efforts to understand the sustainability capacity for the extraction of that resource. Additionally, up to $75,000 is earmarked for the construction of an intertie connection with the Golden State water system that will mutually benefit each system in the event of a catastrophic failure, a fire emergency, or at some point in the future, the wielding of water from one part of the basin to the other, you know, maintaining that. We've also, in water conservation education, have increased that budget. What we've done is every year is required is a water quality report. It's known as the consumer confidence. And what kind of morphed, for years we just sent out a brochure pamphlet that kind of ended up in the round file. And not many people, it wasn't the sense that it was really being used. And we've gone to a calendar last year we produced that we got a lot of great feedback on because it was functional. And we could not only provide the water quality information in that, but we're integrating also the water conservation tips. And the one we've got coming out this year, I think you'll be pleased with. Lastly, the new water rate study will be necessary this fiscal year to address the current financial conditions of the Water Enterprise Fund, taking into account for the decreasing water sales due to the water conservation efforts, and, of course, the future operation maintenance costs and capital improvement projects. Now, I kind of wanted to recap, highlighting kind of the overall scope of what the water department and what is it we do. I'd like to take questions. There are some increases that do jump out. My understanding, some, as we move through the spreadsheet here, in operating expenditures, some of the benefits are tied right to wages, and some of these costs are calculated. Let's see. Moving on here, you'll notice we tried to hold the line as close as possible as we could to the actual spent budget of 06-07, and the places we do show increases really have to do with energy, and certainly fuel being one of the biggest costs to us these days. Let's see. With that, the last thing I want to point out, and then I'm glad to take questions, is this afternoon, in review of this document, on page 4, capital expenses, the 9404, it's a water quality report. That's actually a zero. That can be reduced by $9,000. The expenditures shown in this column were a one-time cost. This had to do with it was a Cleath water management task with regards to the basin, That was completed in the last year. So those costs, the future costs, now have been rolled into the ISJ. If you look up just a couple lines, 9155, the ISJ, that shows $70,000. So we did not have the ISJ line item last year's budget, so the water quality report was reflected in that manner. But the studies that the purveyors are jointly moving forward on are now rolled into the 9155 account. As for capital outlay, we do have $75,000, as I mentioned. This is intertie connection, which is a requirement in the ISJ. And then, of course, the transfer to admin is down somewhat, certainly from the last year. I guess what jumps out here, and you have to ask, is the contingency fund. There is no contingency at this point. So the budget, as proposed right now, we don't have a line item for the contingency. And that may be something your board may want to look at and make changes to. So with that, I'm glad to take any questions.
Director Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Milanis. Starting on page one, line item 4504, this came up at the meeting last week on the interest income with the iBank. Budgeted, it's $118,000, and it shows nothing on the fiscal year to date. I don't know what as of date that is, but last week, Thursday, it was reported $15,000 to date. So I guess I'd still like clarification on that.
Interest. So in the financial statements, there was a unfavorable in revenue and favorable in expenditure. And, of course, I just kind of really was talking to George about that CIEDB today. But to be honest, I really have not delved into that. I really, talking from an accounting sense, the interest income should be really separated from interest expense so we know what we are paying on. We tie into the amortization table of the loan. And so I'm still hoping that once I get into this, that I will show what really was a real interest income and split it out from the netting out of the interest expense. But it is in there. If the financial statements show they're very close in terms of savings, you know, the savings in interest expense and interesting.
I appreciate that, and that's what I surmise looking at line 9022 on page 4. And so the follow-up question is, there will then not be any interest income expected in fiscal year 08 and 09.
It's because we spend it all.
This coming fiscal year, the budgeted amount of $270,000, you will notice that it is lower than this year's budget, and it has the netting. And once I can get into it, we probably will come up with an adjustment to separate those two again, like in this 07-08 budget.
Yeah, it's just that when I look at the net for what we're seeing year to date compared to next year, there's a big drop in that interest income. So we'll wait to see what that comes out.
But excuse me, if I may, one of the big reasons, Joe, is we spent the money, so there's very little income from interest because the money has been spent on the iBank projects. So as MP was just telling you, the payment for the iBank is 280. We've budgeted 270. We expect in a ballpark of 10,000 of revenue, but that's all. I mean, that 118 was when we still had all the money, but we've been running through it, as we should, as all these projects come on the line, and most of them will be completed by at the end of this month, you know, the majority of them. So there's very little money left for interest income.
Okay. The second item is really the first one, 4030 water revenues. And before I comment on that, I guess what I'd like to see would help me engaging how, you know, the expectation and how conservative to be on water revenues in the reports on the utility reports. We always see in these reports, Mr. Milanis, that we see this month we had a decrease of 2% from a year ago. And it would be really helpful. I mean, we're getting this data every month to have it in a spreadsheet so that we had like a four-year running tally, because we're reporting every month. So I know we've got the data so that, you know, we can just simplify, look at our usage trends, because that's, I would think, how you're projecting your water revenues. So what's behind the optimism on that? Or is it not optimism? Is there some other reason?
Back further in the budget, you'll note that we've budgeted for the water rate study, and we're anticipating that they will indicate an increase in rates.
So what this is saying, you're anticipating the answer from the water rate study is going to justify another rate increase of about 5%.
Correct.
Or actually, by the time it gets implemented, I would say you're going to be asking for a 10%, because I don't anticipate, given the time frame of a water rate study and the implementation, the resolutions and going through the hearings, that we would happen sooner than the mid-year. So this is, as a planning document, this is saying we're planning, we believe the answer is going to be to increase the water rates 10% effective January 1st, 2009. Okay.
I think that's a yes. Any other questions? Dr. Tacker?
Mr. Milanis, on the, I'm looking at Fund 500. You have a column that says fiscal year to date 07-08 actual dollars spent as of today, as of, there's no date that tells me when these calculations were entered.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's as of the end of March. Three quarters of the year.
Yeah, the more accurate readings would be what was last Thursday, where that 1,292 would be approximately 1,493,000. Those are the numbers presented last Thursday. So these are behind those presented last Thursday. So, I mean, okay, so that suggests if we're going to meet our mid-year budget target, we're going to get revenues of $170,000 in June.
We are going into the time of the year we generally see a demand in water, depending on the weather, really. It's been fairly cool, we're optimistic, I guess, at best.
Gives a new meaning to the phrase June gloom, huh?
Okay, so, Mr. Milanis, on the outreach item, you have said that you wanted to bump that up for a calendar.
Which page?
I'm looking at page 3. Line item 7345. That's outreach. What was spent in 06-07 was $1,874. Our mid-year budget is $4,400. $1,000 that you want next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not in favor of a calendar. I guess I'm wondering, similarly, in the last item when we talked to Chief Veneris, the he had $4,000 for the Bear Pride, which is the same line item number. So when staff is calculating and putting codes with our expenditures, that's the same. That would be your outreach, your Bear Pride money also.
There is Bear Pride in there. If I may make a clarification, the outreach, this is a combination. It's not just a calendar. We're required to produce what's called the consumer confidence report.
Right. And I just...
And if I may, the that cost has run in the past about $2,000 for the printing. And it's basically a pamphlet that reports water constituents. The water quality for the past year, if we were in compliance. Plus, it goes into the capital improvements. What it's information from strictly just a water perspective. It also is a requirement of the water permit that all water systems do this. What we've done here is really combined, because the thought here is... it's a combination where we're folding in now a water conservation outreach, education. We do that in a number of ways throughout the year. Little slips that come in, the water billing with little tips. We use the media, of course, on the our website, Channel 20, also scrolls some water tips. But this kind of goes a little bit further. And the nice thing about the calendar, what we're finding, and I actually kind of got the idea from other cities that are now using calendars, is the pamphlet people kind of, you know, they don't really pay a whole lot of attention, chuck them. The idea is if you make that information more functional, for instance, on a calendar, it gets actually put up. People get to not only use the calendar, there's a functionality to it, but they're more apt to read the information, the water quality, what's going on with the projects. So it's really more interactive from a standpoint of, you're hoping people are going to use it, are going to put it up, and be more informed than a pamphlet that kind of gets, you know, mailed to them, similar to, you know, ads. So that's the concept. And again, it's
important to let people know what's going on with the projects and the things that we're doing in town. I encourage that kind of outreach and the conservation tips, but I'd like to see a combined effort, and I think the Bear Pride is the way to do that, and I probably jumped in on some of what you were going to say.
You did?
Maybe.
Well, I think my point is that there really isn't a line item for Bear Pride. This is a blanket for outreach. Mr. Milanis is trying to sell me a calendar that I'm not interested in. You're not going to convince me differently. We are in a budget crisis, and you had $4,400 at mid-year 07-08, and I think that's plenty. What you spent last year was under the $2,000 that you estimate that the reports went out in. So that says to me that no Bear Pride went out last year, which we can't afford to do. We have Channel 20, and we have a website, and I don't believe those costs are coming out of that line item. So I just wanted to clarify that that's how you got the figure of $7,000, was by adding the cost of the calendar that you purchased last month, plus the $1,553 that you'd spent year-to-date in at the end of March, and that's how you came up with that figure. It's up to the board to approve the budget, and that's another day, but don't expect me to support a budget of $7,000 for your outreach. I'm not going to change my mind, and I think it's important to the community to have their water conservation outreach in a different form than a calendar that was $5,354.69 for those of you at home that are listening.
Dr. Schicker.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Here's some things I'd like to see for the final budget. I want to see a budget executive summary for your report. I want to see what Director Sparks said, too. I don't know if it's for the budget, but the graph of the monthly revenues, a graph in a graph form would be very helpful. Because, again, we're trying to figure out why you're projecting. And, one, we didn't know the date. And, two, we don't know why you're projecting. And that would be very helpful for me, too. Another thing is, I have a question, is what are other revenues on page 14930? What are other revenues? I don't know.
Those are revenues, upgrades to water lines. There's a lot of remodels going in, which trigger a sprinkler requirement. And so to get the adequate flow, these are upgrades that
upgrades. Okay.
We do.
Okay. Then we're all out of iBank money. We've used it all. It's done. So there is no revenue for iBank money for this budget, right? We're done. Okay? So that doesn't show up, just the remnants of the account.
The actual numbers showing my salary and others that support the water department, as well as the other administrative folks in the water department. What's not in there under the administrative are, of course, the guys at the water yard.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you're seeing such major increases is that last year's budget did not have me in here. So a lot of this is me.
So you're in 8,000?
Correct.
And how much of you, see, this is where we need footnotes again. You need to tell us what percentage of you is in there, because I can't tell. So if you're in there, how much percentage are you in? Do you know approximately? How much of that is you?
35%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so footnote would help on that. And then why is the why are you reducing the transfer to administration from 466, almost 467,000 to 262,000? That's a huge decrease. Just want to know why.
I will defer to Mr. Shem.
This is reacting to the criticisms that this is just a water department.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking, I think, too much percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that, we've still put in here, as you say, the $70,000 for the iBank. George glossed over the $75,000 for the capital. Not all of that's for Energy. We're expecting 20 to 25% of that to be the beginning, finally, of a capital fund for water. Mm-hmm. You'll get a resolution on that. And then back on line 7320, consulting services, that's up to 75,000. That includes...
Which page, Mr. Shemp? I'm sorry.
Page three. Line 7320. Okay. That 75,000 includes the rate study plus low-impact HCP, some funding to get that going.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your original question of why it's less... I've been reacting to comments that I've heard since I've been here.
Okay, but then again, you're also putting some of your salary into the fund, so it's you've got you accounted for there too. Okay, so yeah, footnotes would be great, and an executive summary too would be helpful for this for some of these questions. Thank you,
Director Tacker.
Okay, this might be for Mr. Schimpf and Mr. Milanes. Mr. Schimpf, in your budget presentation notes that were on the table today, you say the old general manager's vehicle will be sold, the utilities manager vehicle will be transferred to the water yard, and an old county truck will be sold. Staff will use their own or rented vehicles subject to reimbursement, except for the utilities manager who is programmed for a vehicle allowance of $350 a month. My question is, where is, first, how is he programmed?
It's in this budget.
It's in, is that called utility managers?
It's on line 8510.
So that's just under travel expenses?
Correct.
That's what that is.
Yes, ma'am.
So I guess then my question is, vehicle's going to be shifted over to the water department. I don't know the rationale behind that. I can understand that the county truck will be sold. That would be some 10 or 12 years old. The general manager's vehicle to be sold. I have a little heartburn over that because its purchase was so controversial. It is 8 years old, to my knowledge. But I know it has low mileage, and it's a pretty comfortable car. And so I guess I'd like some more rationale to these changes that you proposed.
It's purely dollars and cents. It's cheaper to pay people to use their own car than it is to pay depreciation, repairs, gasoline, and for the vehicle. Plus, it restricts people who want to travel out of town with their significant other. They cannot take them in the vehicle. So if somebody's going to training, in Monterey, as an example, and they want to take their wife or whoever that's not a district employee, that's forbidden by our own rules, and rightly so. Whereas if they take their own car, we're not paying for that other person. We're just paying for the person that has the car. We just recently spent $700 on that Impala. We haven't spent that much on mileage, so it really it is, and that does not count the depreciation. It's just, and the insurance. It's just not a. It's not a.
I guess I'd like to see that
analysis. Me too. I guess I'm confused too because being a public employee, we are almost mandated to take pool cars and that kind of thing. And if you choose to take someone on a trip with you, that's your choice and that's your expense. The only time we get reimbursement is if a pool car is not available. So I need to see a breakdown. I need to see the actual dollars and cents because it's contrary to what's been drilled into me elsewhere.
I'm glad to do that. Keep in mind your pool vehicle is one of about how many thousand vehicles?
I understand
right.
The
we
scale.
Have one.
Yeah, I understand the scale differences, but I need actual dollars in front of me to be able to sink it into my brain. Director Schicker.
I had another question. When Chief Fanaris presented his budget, he gave us an overall decrease of 1.5% in expenditures. This looks like an increased budget. What is the percentage of increase, approximate? And if you don't have it tonight, could you prepare it as part of your executive summary? Because I don't see it anywhere summarized. But I do see all the items up. And we're asking the fire department to reduce. I'm wondering why you feel justified to increase your budget in light of this crisis kind of we're in.
Actually, Director Schicker, total expenses from the mid-year budget was 1.864, and it's shown here at 1.09. So it's down by about $55,000.
That's the mid-year budget adjustment, you mean? Is that what you're seeing? But versus the actual? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Schimpf, if you take out the transfer, then the budget is actually an increase from about $1,390,000 to $1,550,000. So, I mean, the transfers, if that's part of the budget, yes, but in the reality is it's going from $1,390,000 to $1,550,000. And then on this, determination of the transfers, Anna Jane talked about doing, allocation, fair allocation, and, in the end, we always seem to, come up with transfers that make the admin work. And when you look at it and what's proposed this year, is it's real disproportionate is what it contributed from solid waste and drainage, since they comprise about 5% of the budget. And if you look at the amount that they're transferring, they're disproportionate. And then excluding the capital projects, you know, fire is about 53% of the budget, water 43%. But looking, you know, historically, we're really, if you go back and look at fire contributed before, it's gone up from like 05, 06, from about 100,000 to about, I think, on the order of about 375,000, if you'd actually compare, try to compare apples and apples. And then the water, I mean, I think it's great for the water customers because they've been taking it in the shorts the last couple of years, that it would go down. But I think prorated, I think we have to look at that balance. I can't suggest a good formula, but it's what it, the transfers are still disproportionate. And then going back to earlier, we talked about the revenues expected for this year based on a water rate study. And again, I would expect in that water rate study and good practices, we would have money going into reserves. And so we don't have money showing going to reserves this year. So if that's what I expect the water rate study would tell us to do, and then that would tell us that the revenues would have to be even higher to make that happen. So, you know, we need to get to the point of planning where we can plan and actually perform to putting money in reserves. So that's just a thought for me in terms of, you know, how we target the revenues. So,
okay, if there's nothing else from the board at this time, I think we'll move on to public comment.
The other budget.
Oh, excuse me.
200, 400.
Oh, excuse me. 200 and 400 funds. That's right. We have more. Yes, did you have anything on the funds 200 and 400?
Well, again, the 200 is the Bay Ridge Estates. This is a special assessment for operating the community septic. Salaries, of course, make up the largest part of those costs. And these in 2007, these are actuals. So, while we try to limit the work going on there, the fact is it's a very old system. There tend to be a number of problems with the actual infrastructure there, so the net result, it requires a lot of hands-on up there to avoid, you know, backage, blockages, and, in fact, overflows to the collection system. We're trying to maintain, again, septage handling is probably the largest other line item that we spend up there. Needless to say, while we're proposing $6,000, which is just a slight increase than the actuals of 2007, the reality is that the cost for transportation of septage down to Santa Maria, i.e. that's Al's service, we have had increases. We're trying the best we can to not pump as often as we need to by just, well, I won't describe what we have to do to keep it flowing, but the bottom line is we're trying to get the optimum holding time there so we can eliminate one, two hauls. But the fact is that particular fund and the Vista, DeOro, which are both similar in nature. Just the costs for running those systems just aren't keeping up.
Please remind me again, is Vista de Oro the larger of the subdivisions? It's the smaller of the subdivisions.
Smaller.
And yet we need more money transferred in to keep that subdivision running. Wow. Is it in worse shape than Bay Ridge?
They both, you know, it's a year-to-year occurrence. They both have required at different times more pumping than we would expect to just get the capacity needed to really settle all those solids. So, again, depending on what we have happening any particular year, it fluctuates. But essentially, whether it's 73 homes or 150 homes, they both require about the same time.
If I may interrupt here briefly, the septic service charge is considerably less, even though it's a larger, larger subdivision. Vista de Oro is, we get less money from the septic service charge. You want to do drainage next?
Is there any other questions with regards to those accounts?
Yeah, any questions on 200?
Return won't be all that great. Still should be done.
It may cost the 10 grand to get the 10 grand back. I mean, in the future,
exactly,
that'll
yeah.
help.
We could
but
get it, we'd
for
get
right
it back
now,
following you, right.
Yeah, it's still money out. Okay, no questions from the board for you right now, Mr. Milanes. We'll go to public comment on funds 200. 400, 500, and drainage. Everyone else, 9 for you.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow, and I live in Los Osos. I'm on a water committee. The first issue is equity. The transfer of funds... Or the payment of administration, a lot of which is coming from the water department, is a tax on a portion of the community, about 40% to 50% of the community is on Los Osos CSD water, and they're paying an inordinate administration fee for that. A couple of things. You have $153,000 for administrative costs for the water department, and then you have $262,000 for administration of the district, for a total of a little over $400,000 administrative costs all total, out of a budget of about a little less than $2 million, if you separate CDF and the fire department out. My concern is that I agree with Mr. Shrimp, the budget, that the business plan for the Community Services District as it was invented is flawed, and you have not addressed that yet. This is the time when we should be addressing this issue. How do we get everyone in the district to pay their fair share of the cost? If there was an extra amount of money that was matching the funds that was transferred from the water department, which is the enterprise fund, from the rest of the district, we wouldn't have a budget problem. Hello? Did everybody understand what I just said? If we had everybody paying equally in the community, we would not have a budget problem. So I think the most important point I'd like to make tonight is that we have to find the vehicle to do that. Trash could be one. Everybody pays trash. Everybody pays fire. You would have to make everybody pay equally to do that, but you have to do that. It's just intolerable to go ahead and to run a broken machine when we have all adults here with most of you have advanced degrees, most of you have a lot of smarts, and you know that this is wrong. But yet you let the customers from the Community Services District Water Department carry the whole community. That's the basic flaw. And that's why you can't balance a budget, why you have to borrow from the fire department and finagle here and there, and it never works out. So please, please, I think you have to make that the time.
It will be next year. So, and more to the, I kind of shared Joe's, at least I think I shared Joe's concerns about the basic revenue projections. If you look at all the factors, I think it's a little ambitious, but I'll put my concern in the form of a question. I know we're talking about a water rate study for this period. My question is if we started today and we went, steamrolling for a water rate study, and assuming, and it's a big assume, that we got no resistance from the protest vote, and it passed, when would that be implemented at the very earliest? And how much will that be, revenues will be generated in this 08-09 budget for that? So that's my question and my concern about that. That's assuming there's no conservation, too. And I hope we have a little bit.
Thank you. I don't think it depends on how quickly that water rate study can be done. Did you want to address
the
that?
Water rate, we've met to form a staff opinion, and that will be vetted through the next Water Finance Committee meeting, and you should get that one of the July meetings to award.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, I agree that a month-by-month revenue stream needs to be shown so that you can make some prediction. And actually, this budget, at least as I've looked at it, the water budget, it doesn't tell us, and I think we said March was the date, and it's hard to figure out on what the predictions are based here. For example, if you take the bottom total expenditure, and if we're talking about March, then how did what's been spent through March, which is about $103,000 a month, get to be $180,000, when if you multiply 103 by 12, you get $1,236. But I'd like to also address another issue, namely the 400, I think it was 200 that he carried in his, this has troubled, I know it troubled the former Finance Committee, Finance Advisory Committee, and it continues to trouble me to this day. Services are being performed in these areas. They were, in some instances, they were divided up for a reason, because different services were being, for example, Vista de Oro gets some septic service, and the other places have other particular things. But the service is being delivered, I believe, by the utilities department. And when you take this lectern, is a thankless job. It really is. And I know yours is thankless, too. But somewhere along the line, you have the responsibility to deal with this. Because, and if I can please conclude, because until you do find out what things are really costing, you're never going to put your arms around this project. You're just not. And this is not a matter of accusing anybody of doing anything wrong, but the way it's set up, it's impossible to find out what things are costing. And that is not good government. And finally, keep in mind, a budget is nothing but a prediction. And it would be better for this community if you took a little more time. If you're not ready on the so-called date that you have to be, If you haven't got the full report of the person who's looking at the books from last year, don't go to doing a budget. Don't adopt anything unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. This is one of the most depressing meetings I've been at. I've been pretty much coming to meetings for the last 8 years, and I guess I just feel a lot of frustration and anger. I'm reading some of these notes from Mr. Schempf. It's obvious that the CSD, since its inception, has not had proper financial accounting system management, and this opinion is supported by the audit findings you will see next week. Furthermore, as recommended by the auditors, the budget includes... The district needs better accounting software, and funds have been included for this. I just feel like we've been... Here we are left with a whole series of mismanagement and money that just flowed readily and seemed to disappear for the first 6 years of our CSD. I'm still upset at Anna Jane... was paid $300,000 to help correct our accounting system and help get this back on its feet. And I'm not sure how many years she was here altogether, but it looks to me like we didn't get our money's worth again. So I agree that if we could simplify this down and really just get down to some, this is like when there's a depression, people had to actually sit down and really make the money go as far as it could go. And I think that's, hopefully AMPI can help us, get through the mess that everybody has seemed to have left us with and come up with some just basic ways of handling continuing. Or possibly the CSD needs to just dissolve at this point. With no wastewater fund, I'm not sure, that was what this... the CSD was formed to handle wastewater and come up with a good sewer plan, and unfortunately the prior CSD wasted our time. And so I think the Bear Pride definitely needs to be canceled. The calendar is ridiculous. Mine was either I didn't...
Chris Allaby, CDO number 1019. On the budget presentation notes here, they've got specific comments. They say that many wage and salary lines show increases that are due to the general manager salary, which was not included in the current budget, being spread over several funds. I like to have that explained. At what point here does the general manager get paid? It sounds like all his money goes into another fund. And then the second line there is recommended by the auditors. The budget includes, et cetera, et cetera. Who were the auditors? That's the only two questions I have. I like this first line paragraph here explained to us people who aren't so sharp at math.
Well, I think you heard a couple times tonight how different budgets didn't have an accounting for Mr. Schempf's salary in them this year, and so next year we need to show that. But, Mr. Schempf, you have a better explanation.
50% of my salary is in Fund 100, 10% is in Fund 301, 35% is in 500, which is water, 5% is in 650, wastewater, total of 100%. So that's why, and those were not shown before, so that's why those are higher. Also, the 200 and 400s are higher on that because, again, George got a salary increase from last year as well.
Right.
And he is divided up in the other funds as well. So he's 75% water, but only 4% 200, 2% 400, 9% in solid waste, and 10% in 800, which is Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec Fund, excuse me, I'm sorry, wrong. Fund 800. Yeah, that is part. Trainage, sorry.
Okay, and then on payday, those the money's drawn out of those different funds to pay you?
Correct.
Okay. Sounds complicated.
It is.
Thank you.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I just want to, I don't, for the public, I don't know if they've, if this was read, but the first paragraph of the budget presentation notes, AMPI and I are new, but it is obvious that the CSD, since its inception, had not had proper financial accounting system management, and this opinion is supported by the audit findings you will see next week. So that just starts this off. But I think one thing that's important that you guys, we're going not line by line as much as I'd like to see to crack down on some of these expenses, but I think that's a way that you build confidence in the community, you know, to show that you're cutting the budget, getting into the bare bones, showing fiscal responsibility. I think that would be a good way to approach this, and I think you got to keep that in mind in this budget meeting. You're dedicating this for that, and I think you really have to cut every penny you possibly can. I don't know if it's ever been proposed or not, but if there's any potential of maybe outsourcing track to inform everyone, and I'm sure it was, but, you know, it's somehow. There's nothing showing in the budget that I could see that, you know, we've indicated that we're selling, we sold the general manager's vehicle, and where is that showing up as a debit? And also, we're transferring the water utility manager's vehicle over to the water department, and where is that showing? And then the sale to the county, what's the expectation of that amount? But what gets me is that how much, I guess the question is, how much do we owe on the water utility manager's vehicle to date? And how much have we spent in maintenance, and how many miles are on that vehicle, and is it really the most practical thing to do at this time? And again, what's the requirement going to be for the water utility manager if he's going to be getting an allowance of $350 a month for a vehicle? Are you going to require what type of vehicle he buys, and that's going to be used and respond to utility water utility issues? And are you going to require liability insurance, and what type of liability insurance, and what risks are going to be involved if he's on district business and gets in an accident or something happens? I mean, these are things that you have to take account of beyond the state limit of $15,000, $30,000. You're going to have to look beyond that, and the insurance carrier should know that he's conducting CSD business. And I see my time is out, but I think you also could change that travel expense heading to something like mileage reimbursement, because it's really not a travel expense anymore. It's just what you're going to be paying for your utility manager's vehicle. There's more, but thank you.
Director Sennett.
Mr. Schimpf, I'd like a little clarification. When you say $350 allowance, does that mean a budget allowance to pay for mileage reimbursement, or is it a lump sum?
It's a flat fee. George is the one person who does a lot of driving around the district. It would not be for a specific vehicle, and it wouldn't be for a specific mileage. It's just, as this is done in a fair number of other cities, we just got a study in from the state of California, which shows the normal, well, the spread, if you will, of vehicle allowances for management personnel. For the rest of us, we'd just be putting in our usual mileage claims. So it would be a flat increase in his pay, if you will.
It does seem like that insurance question would be a good one, though, to make sure that, I mean, if I'm an insurance carrier, I would want to know if someone were using their vehicle for business purposes, as opposed to just personal, and I don't know. I assume that that's all vetted and
that's his problem.
Taken care of. But, yeah, that was a good point from an insurance man. Mr. Margetson.
I'm going to talk to you. Stop me. The revenues I have a concern about also. Keep in mind, this was a relatively dry winter. So if we have a wet winter, revenues will be down. I think it's very optimistic that you're going to get through the water rate study, the hearing process and all that, to have it on by the beginning of next year. The utilities manager, salary that was charged off, or not charged off, but paid by the iBank loan. I think we need clarification on that, because that's an adjustment that, if it doesn't come to fruition, is going to be money the district's going to have to pay in regular salary anyway, because those salaries are fixed. Especially, I'll leave it at that on that. The outreach question that Julie brought up, looking at the statements that were given us last week through 5/31/08, it doesn't look like that cost of the calendar was charged to the outreach account, because the balance as of 5/31 is only $3,796. So I don't believe that's the account it was charged to. So I think you need an explanation of that. And this is your time. This is your time to direct staff to make the appropriate budget changes that you want. Not just have, a workshop and do nothing about it at the end, get a bunch of questions answered. This is your time to say, this is what I want changed. These allocations I want directed a different way. This water budget is based on some assumptions that allow for a $262,000 transfer to administration. If they don't all come to fruition, you're not going to meet the water budget. The administrative budget. And then just one last thing, since we're only getting 3 minutes. The drainage budget. Transfer to administration. Now, almost everybody in the district pays the drainage assessment on their tax bill. The transfer to administration out of a $96,000 budget is $39,030. Isn't the drainage fee for drainage projects not administrative overhead? How long can the district go on at that pace? You're talking 40-some percent of the drainage budget is going to administration. And if you look under the salaries section, that went up from $16,000 to $25,000. These other budgets are coming out relatively in good shape because they're being compensated by the other departments. Why we have never had a sinking fund or a capital fund for drainage is beyond me. All the years that this district has paid that fee on their tax bill, year after year.
Did you have any comments to make on some of those questions? There was one about payroll allocation to the...
Doesn't spend that amount of time on iBank, then we'll have to charge that back to the salary line. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I just add one thing? I'm just curious how a specific number was derived for that account. It's not rounded off. You have a specific number there, 37, whatever it is. To the dollar. There has to be some calculation of how that was derived.
Is that true? I know there is true, but I don't know how we came up with that exact dollar amount.
When we finished up the budget, there was an odd little bit of money left at the bottom, and that's where we decided to put it. So it's not scientific.
Next.
Los Schaller, Los Osos. This is the first time I've seen this budget or any of the budgets from the CSD. So the first question is, the format that this is printed in, is this the same as it's been for the last, 6 years? So has this changed since you've come into?
No, I can't take responsibility, although I would love to change it, and we will be. Ampi and I both, we've talked about midterm budget, but we hope to be back sooner than that with as we get smarter and smarter on what our reserves are and what have you. But no, this format is what I inherited. I don't know how long it was here.
Okay. I don't know if you stopped the clock on that. I have some other questions. Maybe you can grab those at the end, or we can stop, whatever's easiest for you. Yeah, I don't find it particularly user-friendly. I've got some experience with budgets, not a great deal. So I look forward to some changes. Probably not likely to change before the June 19th meeting. Is the June 19th meeting going to be a final budget approval night? Do we have an opportunity to provide input before then, either in writing or other public?
That was the original goal, but if we're not ready, we're not ready. And I assume we need to have this done by July 1st, June 30th. So there is an opportunity. There's a whole extra, 11, 12 days in there that we could have another meeting if we have to. I would just assume not.
Okay.
And then tomorrow night, the Water Ops Finance Committee will be vetting this and going through it. So that is, 6 o'clock, 6:30? 6:30.
Where at?
It's at the CSD offices. The first thing will be a presentation for the committee members of the Brown Act, so probably around 7-ish is when we'll get to the audit and then budget.
Okay, thank you. And then I assume there are probably some backup journals for all these that provide, if someone really wants to dig into some of the expenditures, or are there backup journals that show, that's available to the public either online or in the office, that you can see check numbers, et cetera, et cetera?
We're open to public records requests, but we don't have, the files are not available for everybody to come in and rifle through.
If you want, Mr. Schaller, if you want to...
Just to follow up on this, is this likely to change in 6 months, or is it completely unknown, or 2 months? Because I guess for anyone that's interested, I'm considering learning more about this, but I certainly don't want to dig into this system or the general ledger system if it's going to be changed in 2 months or 3 months. Or
I can't answer that. We will be presenting to the board, and it'll be a board decision.
Okay.
It will be a wholesale change. I'm looking at incrementalism. A lot of people get uncomfortable when you start all over again because it's hard to compare last year's. So right. We will be making some incremental additions is the way I would characterize it.
Okay.
Now, you're talking about format, not just numbers.
And content.
The content, but I think Lawson's question had to do with format.
Right. Yeah, the reporting, the actual reporting for the public to look at, and then backup details and stuff.
Well, that's not going to change.
This format will not change the reporting.
It'll be added to, but I doubt that it'll be changed.
Okay.
One of the concerns I have is that this is all done by spreadsheet, Excel. It's not connected directly to our software. And I've seen municipality after municipality get in serious hot water because this is subject to a lot of error by those of us putting the numbers in. We do our best, but it is not directly connected to our software. And I'm hoping, when we get to Fund 100, we're hoping to get better software that will, in fact, develop. You'll be able to see a printout from the software that shows the budget.
So your software will not print out reports?
Correct. It'll print out reports, but it won't print out the budget.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
I already spoke, but do you think we could get a workshop going here where, the real sharp guys here have more than 3 minutes to explain this stuff to us? Do we have enough time?
This is the workshop. This is the best we can do. You see how long it's taken tonight with 3 minutes apiece.
Oh, okay. No, I thought we'd pretty much speak.
I've been pretty free.
Workshop.
I've been pretty free about the red light.
Okay.
Where are we even at? Additional public comment on funds 200, 400, and 500, I believe, and 800. Okay, seeing none, we'll We'll take a quick 10-minute break, and it will be 10 minutes, honest, just a drink of water. Our 10 minutes is up, and we'll resume the meeting. What we have left is administration and odds and ends, and Mr. Schempf, you'll lead us through that.
Thank you, President Cecilia. I'd like to start with 900, which is Parks and Rec. It's the last page, and that's as by agreement with the county and the bankruptcy court to spend up to $200,000 on arbitration of the contractors. So that's that line. The bank service charges are what the bank charges. There's really very little else in here. The 650 is solid waste. And the comments made earlier are exactly correct. There's a major increase in the revenues due to a decision by the board previously to go for the full to charge the full amount of your, I think it's 10%, and that also includes the upcoming minor rate increase. So the net revenues are more than double from last year. The expenses are relatively the same, and the net result is, as was mentioned by one of the previous speakers, is that a very large chunk of this is transferred to Fund 100, $92,000 to be specific. Moving to Fund 100. Fund 100 gets its revenue from the other funds, and I make no bones about it. We did take the maximum amount possible from both drainage and solid waste. We're figuring on revenues slightly less than last year. Excuse me, slightly less than the mid-year budget, mainly because of we don't expect the property taxes to go up at the rate we have been going, and we didn't take quite as much from water. I mentioned in the notes that I've included in here a increase in the line for information technology. Computer hardware, software, that is software primarily, an increase of about $17,000. We've also included in the personnel costs a part-time financial administrative manager. When I say part-time, I want to wait until we've had an opportunity, until AMPI's had an opportunity to go through all of our accounts and then come into the board with a proposal. So I don't expect that to happen until mid-year, but it is in the budget. George mentioned a change in his budget earlier where he said the water quality report would go to zero. Saving $6,000, $4,000 of that. And so one can't leave a message there anyway. One makes you wonder why we have them. But that's just there, and we can certainly change that if you so desire. Open for questions on all of the above.
Before you open there, I do have a major item to mention. The legal fees are budgeted at $260,000. That amounts to the normal general counsel fees of about $170,000 and $90,000 for the bankruptcy attorneys. That is all. If the taxpayer watch cases go to fruition, it's over $200,000 for the defending attorney. It's $221,000 anticipated by the attorney going after the insurance company, and it's another $80,000 for the general counsel to be on top of both of those attorneys. Or in round numbers, $500,000 is not in this budget. If that happens, that money has got to come out of reserves. The way this budget is currently structured, there is no money in here of that magnitude.
Could you repeat that, please? The legal services number here versus what would be... Could you just repeat everything you just said?
If it's bad news all the way around, we're looking at $750,000 worth of legal fees, roughly speaking. We've budgeted in here $260,000, which covers only the general counsel and the bankruptcy. Now, keep in mind, we don't have to pay that bankruptcy, but I think we should, and I've put it in here. We don't have to pay it now. We could wait until it's all settled. That's $90,000 for the bankruptcy attorney. That's Michelson, Soucy, and Michelson. And $170,000 is the projection from John Seitz. The other $500,000 that is not in here, if the taxpayer's watch goes all the way to trial, the defending attorney, the attorney defending the directors is estimating $200,000 to be spent. If the attorney going after the insurance company, if that goes to trial, he's anticipating $221,000. If both of those happen, the general counsel needs to be involved to the tune of $80,000 with both of those cases. So it's an additional $500,000, which is not in the budget. And if those happen, the only place for them is in the reserves that we've talked about here before. That is not good news.
If you can't succeed through LAFCO, just keep people in court, and maybe you can eventually bleed them to death. Speaking of LAFCO, I noticed that LAFCO fees are expected to be $1,000 a year. We cannot make lawsuits go away without attorneys going to court, and that takes money. Any other? We're in arbitration. Yes, Director Sparks.
Given what you just said, I guess why would you put a success-oriented budget so that, the choices are going to be to budget for those amounts or not. And so, to me, that says you don't think this budget is reality. Second item is, as far as the bankruptcy expenses, this doesn't also include, there's an ongoing liability to Michelson, Soucy, and Michelson where we haven't paid. Is that correct?
It includes the amount that we have deferred this year. So if the budget goes as we have here, they will be current.
So when you said 170, you said 90,000. So that includes 60,000 from this year?
For 08, 09, yes, sir.
So that includes the deferred 60,000 from 07, 08?
Well, it turns out it's only about 30.
Okay, so it's 30,000. So
yes, sir.
That would be, so you're expecting it would be 60,000 for Michelson, Soucy, and Michael in 08, 09.
Yes, sir.
And given our history, is that
a reasonable amount.
It's the amount that Joe Shoulder gave me.
I guess that sounds optimistic. And that this doesn't include any Pizzledif amounts either.
Correct.
And this doesn't include any other miscellaneous expenses, reclamator, whatever.
Well, yeah. There is a substantial amount in here for the general counsel, and
yeah.
One would
have. I was going to say, you weren't short on general counsel. All right. Actually, I hope you. I wish it was less. Yeah.
Please keep in mind that that includes all the water stuff that he's done before, as well as the ISJ. So that's not an unreasonable number for our interim. I don't believe for our interim counsel.
And I guess you know my comment is this, Mr. Schimpf. In the water side, we're projecting out water revenues based on water rate study. And then when I look over the historical, we don't have a wastewater project. And when I look over the historical costs that were on the order of $600,000 3 years ago, and if I subtract out, you know, even if I subtracted out the bankruptcy, which still in the, you know, all that would reduce this is by about $100,000. Whereas, you know, looking at historically that we don't have a wastewater project would lead you to believe either we were horribly underfunded back in 04, 05 for admin, or even taking out that legal, I'm a firm believer that you need to come back with choices. We just keep getting these budgets that are saying, here is, you know, here is it. This is what makes the numbers match. But without getting down to a $700,000 figure, we've got a budget here that has, even if we discount the legal, we've got a budget that just doesn't have any reserve funding. And so I think we need to get to the point where we show how we get to giving the proper reserve funding, which, you know, on a $4 million budget, which is what we're basically have in this district, 5% going to reserves each year would be $200,000. So to me, even aside from the legal, we're still $200,000 short of doing proper reserves unless we can cut expenditures. And I think you need to come back. I mean, you are hired. I think it's your job to come back with a plan that does that. So, I mean, that's my only comment. It's, you know, we just can't keep doing rate increases. We just did a 50% water increase last year, the last year.
That's the first guidance I've had about what magic figure you want to hear, and I only heard it from one director. If all five of you or three of you want a budget with $700,000, that can certainly be done.
Maybe I missed where the $700,000 number came from.
Well, that came from, again, going back, you know, to 04, 05, and 05, 06, the budget amounts were, you know, $600,000 to $700,000 for administration. And that was with the district doing wastewater. The district does not do wastewater anymore. So, I mean, it stands to reason the total administrative contribution would then be reduced. So, again, that's a rough number. I don't want to be set on it, but certainly, so that's where that number came from.
Okay. It's
the fundamental problem that the district was funded with about $300,000 a year from wastewater, and that goes away. And so, but we don't cut administration. So we need that needs to be our target point. And then the other point is if, you know, we have to address the issue of legal, and I think in this budget we have to make some estimation other than a rosy scenario and then see what the effect is going to be on the reserves and whether, and then to make the decision based on that. I think that's the only way, you know, we can approach it. Or it's the way, I mean, it's the way I would approach it, but.
Yeah, if I had more confidence, I guess, in the budgeting and financial picture, that the things that were going on back in 2 and 3 years ago, maybe I'd feel more confident that 700,000 was the right number. I don't know what the right number is. I don't. Director Tacker, did you have some comments? Looked like you were about ready to, I guess.
Well, I'm always ready. I don't have a comment for Joe. I don't.
Okay, and but how do you factor it? But again, without doing wastewater, there's that component to it.
I'll continue. I'm not sure how to. You know, Lindy said something in the last item, and Joe's kind of brushing up against it, the comments about continued legal. Should the legal continue? It's time that staff brought back to the district, and we've had this item on our agenda before, ramifications related to possibly dissolving the district. Are we staying alive just to pay lawyers? I don't like that. I don't like the idea. I don't like that we're put in this position, but I think we need to ask the question, and the community needs to be part of the discussion about, do they want their CSD? Do they want their local control? It comes at a price. And we're seeing it very clearly tonight, even that it's expensive. And, you know, you take direction from all five board members or a majority of the board, but I think it is a conversation that the community needs to have. So maybe on a future, not too far from now, agenda. I know Chuck's going to take this out to the public, and we're going to talk about these particular budgets in particular that John has gone over, but I'm wondering about what's coming back to us next week and how we're going to see it differently. Is it going to be clearer for us? Will we have some of the things that Lisa mentioned? You know, the actuals, I think, could be more current than March. A PowerPoint presentation that the community could follow along with is not out of the realm of possibilities. I'd like to see our budget and I'd like to see our staff reports on our website. I don't want to see us putting together a bear pride and generating paper that just ends up in recycle bins, hopefully. When we have a resource that the world is becoming more and more easily accessible to, and we have a website, we should use it to the fullest extent. Just like any other agency, you should be able to click on and come up with an agenda or staff report. Furthermore, some of our staff has skills and I think that's all I'll say for now, but it'll probably be something more later.
Any other comments from the board before we open it up public comment? Director Sennett.
I noticed that across the different funds, 100, 301, 500, 650, 800, they all have outreach budgets. And I think there's an opportunity to combine those and combine the needs of outreach into one publication. and consolidate it. Altogether, they amount to slightly over $17,000. So I think that's one suggestion I'd make. Also, I think it's obviously a clear indication of action the board needs to take in trying to write the funds that take care of Cabrillo, Bay Ridge, and Oro. Those combined utilize slightly over $21,000 of admin fees to supplement, and they don't contribute to the admin overhead. So I think that's something we have to work on, and it won't happen overnight. It's a legal requirement that I believe they go through the 218 process. So it's not going to happen overnight, but I think it's a clear direction that the board needs to start taking action to start rectifying these deficiencies. And that's what I would add. Oh, also, as far as format is concerned, if there is a budget item, it should have either a zero or the amount, but just not left blank because there's so much doubt. You know, it's as if there were an anticipation we should fill it in with something, or that there's a number actually missing there and we don't have the information, or it's an error. So I think we need to fill everything up.
Your first comment, a lot of things are spread out across the funds. It's easier if it's all in one, but it's not correct. All the funds need to pay their share of paper, of et cetera, administration. So it's always awkward, Steve. I mean, I do hear you, and it would be simpler to say, here's the money we're using for outreach and all funds use it. I'll take a look at seeing how we might make some changes that would get there and still, perhaps the way to do it is to show it all in one and then just have a flat percentage admin transfer to everybody. It might be the easier way to see the overall. So I'll take a serious look at doing that. Okay. I want to caution all of you that the package goes out on Monday, and this is already Tuesday, so we're going to be working hard, and we'll do the very best we can to make all these changes.
Good night. Okay, public comment. Director Schicker.
Just waving here.
Everything he possibly can.
But nothing we can report at this time, right?
Correct.
Right.
The summary judgment, if it goes that far, and the insurance is scheduled for September 15th, which is not that far away.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm coming from, too. I think Director Tacker kind of... I also, Director Sparks, Director Tacker, are we existing just to pay attorneys? This is a crazy expensive public funds just to pay attorneys. But how can we have a conversation with our community if this is the best we can do for a workshop? This is not really a workshop. We all know that. This is still a meeting. How do we have workshops so we can get community input on whether we should exist or not, or how we can solve these problems? We're not getting the best input from our community in this format. But so for me to be able to approve a budget by next week, it's we're not going to have the time to have the workshops that we need to get good input. I also think we should be talking to the county and LAFCO about dissolution too. And we should also be having workshops. That's one option. Does the community want this entity or not? It just seems crazy to just be a legal defense fund. And it's a shame. It really is. It's very disappointing to me because, again, I remember distinctly the people that are suing us said to us, they will accept the will of the people and the vote of the people. That's exactly what hasn't happened. It's so to me undemocratic, and it really hurts to the core. That's why I got involved. That's why I ran for election. So, I'm very concerned about these legal expenses, and maybe something good will come out of all this. But again, we haven't had a workshop. How do we have a workshop with the timing? How do we get better input from our community to decide if we should exist or not? Those are all concerns I have. And we don't have a budget proposed that is acceptable right now. We don't have any proposals from the staff. This is going to what Director Sparks said about where we should cut. Most of the budgets are increased. They're not cut. And we're in bankruptcy protection. And that concerns me. That's my other final comment. Since we're in bankruptcy protection, we shouldn't be having these legal expenses. And I would like to direct staff to see how. I don't know if it can be done about going back to bankruptcy, too. So those are kind of my thoughts. But we don't have any choices here yet. We just have one plan, and the plan is increase. And we don't have the money to increase. And the structure of the CSD was never designed properly to have everyone pay their fair share. So to me, that's where we need to go. Somehow we got to figure out a way for the community to pay their fair share. And right now we don't have that. So that's where I'm at for right now.
I have to disagree a little bit in that I think that they've done a good job trying to cut where possible. I see a lot of you know, line items that are less, that have been reduced and seem to be an attempt to accurately project what might be spent next year. Consulting services have, of course, dropped quite a bit. But so then it seems like there's probably 10 people in the community making the decision about whether or not we have a community services district, and that sure doesn't seem right. And none of that addresses your whole point about workshops and how do we gather information. I guess our committee, I'm hoping tomorrow night we'll have some input that way. And I do appreciate those of you who have come tonight, and let's hear from you. Excuse me, Director Sparks,
I just had one more comment, in this, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate very much, what you've done in doing this. We've been wanting to make a transition to some different financial support. So I appreciate it greatly, the effort you've put into this. Mm-hmm. My other concern is this. As a water purveyor and with the plans the county is going forward with and our participation, I think we have an obligation to, you know, talk to the county and address this issue in that. I stated earlier, and that was as of April 30th, the LIF was at $878,000 minus the pool is $600,000 now. Is that the exact amount of reserves? But there's, we're facing, potential scenario with this budget with no reserves coming in, and then basically having to then come to us. The question is, do we need a resolution to pay for legal costs to keep us on the up and up? Because you have to keep the operating account at a high amount for the normal contingencies of cash flows and payroll, and so that then says, given those legal expenses going into the LIF fund, and that's where the danger is, and that affects our commitment and our obligation as part of the ISJ, enabling the county and the other water purveyors to go for the wastewater project, and I'd rather. There's a saying, you give them bad news earlier than later. I don't want to have to get to, October and say, hey, we can't participate in this at a level 2 or level 3 project. Because we don't have the resources. Or the planning is just saying, hey, we're just going to continue and you're going to go pedal the metal, come back and get the solid waste franchise fees up to 798% or whatever, being facetious, but and proposing a special tax and the water rate study, put the appropriate amount to do it, because the bankruptcy is going to go another two and a half years, and I think this, what I'm hearing here is $60,000 I think is optimistic where once we get potentially into confirmation hearings and it could balloon again. So I remember mentioning last year, I said, maybe we'd need a legal fee assessment. And Ms. Biggs kind of said, I don't think you'd ever, could ever pass that. But in a sense, we're essentially taxing for that purpose. And I think it's instructive that the discretionary decisions of this board that have probably not helped us in the bankruptcy are discretionary decisions associated with two.
There's a line item where we are starting a transfer to the pay back the bond reserve. It's only $25,000, but it's a step, and that's what I mentioned earlier. We intend to get that codified for you. If we do that every year plus return the interest, it will, I think, keep the people happy. It's not within a year, but at least it will be there before needed in the 29th year of the payback. And I should have mentioned that earlier, and I forgot. My apologies.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're ready, Martha. Thank you.
Excuse me, Martha Golden, Los Osos. First, I would like to thank Director Schicker for pointing out that this was not a workshop. It was another meeting at which we were belatedly provided with a budget that is in large part incomprehensible and doesn't seem to have any basis in fact, and we haven't had any opportunity to discuss it. A workshop is where you all have give and take, and what we've had is speeches from the throne and occasional comments from the general public, the few people who are here. That's not a workshop. It's too bad we didn't have one, that we don't have one, that the community could not be alerted to the fact that there's a very serious budget up for discussion and invited to participate in something that would have had a round table and had people talking about it for hours on end and trying to come up with some suggestions from the general public as well as direct information from the staff and our general manager. Now I would like to read a letter from Jim Tkach, who is unable to be here tonight. This is not my letter. This is a letter from Jim Tkach. Excuse me. I apologize that I could not attend in person tonight as I am attending my nephew's graduation. I understand that Gordon Hensley and Joyce Albright, also known as Taxpayers Watch, are suing as individuals four of the five LOCSD board of directors in regard to their decision for the LOCSD to settle lawsuits with the law firm of Burke Williams and Sorensen. I understand the lawsuit Hensley Albright Taxpayers Watch claimed that the settlement of the lawsuits in the amount of a few hundred thousand dollars was, in their opinion, a waste of public funds. My questions are as follows. One, how much money is in this year's LOCSD budget for legal fees to defend the LOCSD Board of Directors from that Hensley Albright Taxpayer Watch lawsuit? Two, how much money has the LOCSD spent to date for legal fees to defend the LOCSD Board of Directors from the Hensley Albright Taxpayers Watch lawsuits? Three, how much money is projected to be spent over the next couple of years to defend the LOCSD Board of Directors from the Hensley Albright Taxpayers Watch lawsuits? I am interested in this information because I would like to know the point in time when the Hensley Albright Taxpayers
Environmental Sustainable Sewer, and that's why LAFCO approved the CSD formation. I don't know whether LAFCO will authorize dissolution with the debt that the county is going to have to pay. And if you recall the discussion when Taxpayers Watch, some of those people, asked for a dissolution, that was one of the issues that LAFCO had, was that it would be a burden on the county that they didn't want to put on. The second point is the 2701 took away the wastewater authority from the district, in a sense taking away the reason to have the district. Now, that's not entirely true because we do have a water department. But when we formed our CSD, we had a $4 million reserve that was transferred from the county CSA 9 to this district.
$4 million reserve. No longer. It has proved to be very difficult because of the controversy in the community to have community consensus. And for that reason, we'll likely have more lawsuits if other actions are taken. And I know, Chuck, you've tried to accommodate both sides and been a peacemaker in that sense. Is that not correct to say that you have, during your presidency? I think the gender lawsuit is something we're paying for, too. The Bruce Buell one, isn't that still being paid for? Is that all settled? It is. Okay, good. That's good to hear. We have 2,700 people in our house, in our water district, and they're carrying an unfair share of the admin costs here. And it's just, are you willing to sit there and let that unfair thing go on? It's been going on for 10 years now. Are you willing to say it's okay with you? Or are you going to stand up and do something about it? The other thing is, regarding Lisa's comments about dissolution, we need to set up a committee. Those people shouldn't have to make reports on whether they're going to lose their jobs, for crying out loud. That's totally unfair to ask these people over here to do anything with dissolution. So, and the outcome may not be what you want either. So the 10 years, I like having the TV program and the chance for the community to make comments. I think that's a good thing. So it's a tough decision. But thank you for your time. And last thing I want to say is we need a budget summary for all funds. Every single fund has to be summarized into one so that we know the total budget picture. And that would be a good thing. Would you please ask staff to do that? Thank you.
Director Schicker.
Just a clarification for Mr. Barrow about that. I certainly wasn't asking the staff to figure out how to dissolve their jobs. I was asking the staff for assistance in talking to the county. That's all. I want the workshop with the public to talk about dissolution and other options for how to solve our dilemma. So if I was misunderstood, I apologize for that.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I guess me. Come up with a legal fund and go after Stan, Richard, and Gordon and sue them for wasting tens of millions of dollars by starting a project 30 days too soon and wait for the community's consensus. But the problem is that your current policy is, and this is the fear that you guys face in November, is that the new board could change the policy and state that we're no longer going to pay the money to defend you. So it might be a way to defend yourself is to sue Stan, Gordon, and Richard to preserve that policy. But you could settle with them, even though you think you have a righteous lawsuit against them and you think it would prevail. Seems a little ironic, but it would save you some money. But I don't want them to get what I think you should be paying, but none of you people were enriched by any of this that they're accusing you of. So, and they don't have, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Even if you went after Stan, Richard, and Gordon, you're not going to get anything either. Well, but if you want to play this out all the way, so that we can pay the lawyers to defend ourselves against taxpayer watch, then perhaps we have to start laying off the employees, to defend the district and to defend the board. And it's almost getting to the point where we should probably take a look at maybe hiring an attorney for staff, just to have a staff attorney. I mean, Morro Bay did it because they were paying so much money in legal fees. I just think that I'm glad to see John Seitz has seen the light as far as the attorneys that are representing the board in the district about the Kumis Council for the insurance. That should have been done a long time ago. And filing a summary judgment should have been done a long time ago. I don't know why they should be your advocates, but it seems to me they're defending you in a different way. Their attitude and their approach to this whole lawsuit just doesn't make any sense to me. So So if any of the community wants to get out there and raise money and hire attorneys to sue Stan, Richard, and Gordon, go ahead.
I just assumed we all woke up in a peaceful mood someday and decided to let it all go.
Attorney's fees, an interesting question. However, I think it's owed to the district, to the general population here, for somebody to sit down and figure out how much each of these lawsuits costs. Not talking about total amounts, but really making we have a list of those cases and what they have cost us to date, and if you can get the lawyers to give you a projection, you should get them to do that. In addition, I think that someone, there's got to be somebody, preferably a lawyer, would come in and advise you as to what possibly can be done with these fees. Get on that sewer project. Just keep that in mind. That's still a work in progress. And think also there of how many millions have been spent. And, you know, I would digress by saying I attended the last meeting at which we had the most wonderful demonstration by Pavo of how no matter what the question is, you stick to your message, and you filibuster. In any case, I really think you've got to get the figure as to each and every one of them. And I think you also need to look for advice so that if those of you who will not continue, or if there is a change in the board, we don't see the other folks get hung out to dry, because that would be the final revenge. Because that's all this is revenge. You notice, and I don't care what the form is, if you were truly the taxpayer's watch, I know if I were, I'd have been here tonight to see what was going on. And they're not here. They only come to throw bombs. Anyway.
Thank you. Any other public comment on the miscellaneous funds, including Fund 100?
Good evening again, Lawson Schaller. Let's see. Dissolution, that's a very serious topic. And I guess the first step would be to verify what Mr. Golden has said. If it really is not an option, then we shouldn't waste any more time on it. If it is, then perhaps getting public input is a good idea. If we're here just to pay attorneys, then it may make sense. But if we can't do it, then we can't do it. We need to move on. I'm wondering, if the budget needs to be approved next week, if that's an absolute must. I came tonight expecting somewhat of a workshop. I can play catch-up and try to learn some more about this and try to be prepared the next week. A lot of people can't, so I'm wondering if haste makes waste. Can we postpone this at all? I mean, what is the rush if we want a thorough analysis and try to come up with some sound budgeting? There's Director Sparks brought up questions about revenue projections. There seems to be consensus there. There's a lot of details in here. So, I think slowing down a little bit and doing a better job might make sense. Maybe it's not an option if you could clarify that. If we do have the time to get a workshop, I think there can be some ideas from the public on cost-cutting, other inputs and suggestions that could go a long ways. You mentioned software. I think You know, I haven't looked at the cost of software in a while for accounting packages, but it seems to me it might pay for itself fairly quick and whatnot. And a lot of talk about the Taxpayers Watch and other groups. I'm fairly new to the community, and there's been so much back and forth, and the amount of energy that's been on that is just mind-boggling to me, and the revenge and the backstabbing. And I just want to bring up the F word tonight, and I think it's a powerful word that we could all practice. It's easy to say, but it takes a lot of practice, it takes a lot of hearts, it takes a lot of guts, and it takes a lot of courage from everyone. Because it's not just Taxpayers Watch, it's a lot of other people. And the F word is forgiveness. And if people would give that a try and practice it and practice it and practice it, because it's difficult. I don't care what your religious leanings are, what your spiritual leanings are, it doesn't matter. Forgiveness is something that can be applied irregardless of your leanings. And I don't personally think things have gone so far that we can't do that. Many might. I think some people might have an axe to grind and they're just not going to back off. But if enough people can integrate and practice forgiveness, then that could be really beneficial to this community. And forgiveness is not always forgiving others. It's also forgiving yourself for things you may have done that you wish you hadn't. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment tonight on... Yes, here we go.
Richard Margeson, sorry, I might not be as big a person as I should be, but I can't forgive people who ask the water board to find their community, their neighbors out of existence. Never going to be able to get over that for me. Just something I can't get around. Just can't do it. Cannot believe that people ask a government agency to find their district and their community out of existence. Can't get by it. Sorry. Dissolution. Don't want to use too much of my time on this, but there was an interesting back and forth with Pavel at Gibson's office hours, the last office hours, on what the process might be. So if somebody wants a fill-in on what that discussion was, it was very interesting. You know, Keith talked about some things. I still go back to the hearing, the injunction hearing at the Vets Hall when Taxpayer Watch tried to get the injunction to keep you guys moving forward on the project. And when they didn't prevail that day, Stan Gustafson walked by Keith Swanson and I and said, "Good luck, we left you with no money." The exact words. "Good luck, we left you with no money." You know, part of the budget problem you have right now, part of the other numbers aren't showing up. These fund balances are stated in the audit. That's why they're not sitting in an account. Now I'm going to get to the actual budgets. I think you have a small problem in the recreation budget. It states that there's $12,000 of interest from the pool fund, or you're budgeting that amount, but the transfer to reserve below is only $11,850. I think if the pool fund interest is going to be $12,000, whatever that number is, it has to go into the reserve. Any money that's needed to pay the water or the ground maintenance would have to be a transfer from administration, the administration fund into this, or the taxes into this. I don't think those two numbers can be different, ever. And so we're only talking $150, but I just think that can't happen. Solid waste. If you notice, under the payroll, the 40-hour personnel. Administrative salaries and wages are budgeted at $30,700. And then salaries, regular time below that, is $7,500. Is the administrative salaries and wages, is that Mr. Shemp's salary that's allocated to that fund? Or is it regular salaries? Because if that's the case, that's a dramatic increase. And if that's Mr. Shemp's salary that's allocated to that fund, that's 25% of his, someone's salary. It would be his, it'd be 25% of his, because he and George have the highest salaries in the district. But anyway, and then if you notice, as was stated earlier, $92,627 transferred to administration is leaving solid waste fund with no reserve. You know, this fund at one time had a reserve balance of $265,000. Cabrillo, you know, I think Cabrillo needs some work at some point. It keeps getting left off the radar. You know, there are 200, and I think there's 200 and some homes up there. And then to the administrative budget. You know, if you want to increase, if you're concerned about the legal fees and you're concerned about the budget amount, then direct staff to set a legal line item amount at a certain amount. If it's not 260, tell staff that you believe it should be 350, but you want to keep the same total administrative budget and make them figure it out through the other departments. You know, where they're going to get 10,000 from this department, where they're going to get 20,000 from that department, because it all feeds into this department, feeds in and out of this budget. So if you are concerned about that, now's the time to do it, because Joe's correct. If these things come to fruition, where are you going to take it?
Okay. Yeah, was that the line 8,000, I guess, in the solid waste administrative salaries and wages? That was your...
There's 40% of another employee's who's specifically... Her job is solid waste. So there's 16,000 there. I'm in there for 5%. George is in for 9%. And the utilities workers are in there for 1%. We'll check on that.
I agree. That's only $150, but I don't see how, yeah, that the interest earned off of that principal can ever, ever, ever go anywhere else. I agree. Director Schicker, you were about to make a comment.
I just, for these percentages, Mr. Shemp, that you've allocated for your salaries, for me that would either be another footnote or in the executive summary somewhere. That would
okay.
be helpful.
Will do. It'll be by position, not by name.
Yes. Yes, what is the deadline is the question.
The deadline is the 1st of July.
But no, and the second part of the question is, what are the repercussions if we don't meet the deadline?
You've been through that before, and Karen will give you the details on that. But what I would strongly suggest is that we do adopt a budget before 1 July. That does not mean it can't be changed on 2 July.
Right.
But not having a budget going forward requires a couple of steps, which Karen's going to tell you about.
I have to try to remember what happened 2 years ago. But if we go back to 2 years ago, Anna Jane had started recently doing our accounting work for us. We had Ms. Schumacher as our admin manager, and we were, you know, in the process of considering whether to file Chapter 9 or not. All that was going on at one time. Nobody had a budget put together really on time. And so what at that time Julie Biggs suggested was passing a preliminary budget, which we did have to do before July 1, and the only difference was that we called it preliminary, and we passed a final later that fall. But because we did not pass a budget and then do adjustments to the final budget, we ended up having to do, I'm trying to remember, how many notices in the newspaper and how many other kinds of public hearings and things. And it became more complicated and expensive for the district, and the end result was the same. We still operated with the budget that we had that was not perfect. And then later on, I believe it was in September, we've passed the final. And if I remember right, there weren't a whole lot of changes to those two budgets anyway. So I do agree with John that it would be to the district's benefit. Plus, there are entities such as the iBank that will be asking and requiring us to submit our budget to them pretty darn quick. And, you know, it would...
We could ask for a quarterly budget adjustment versus a mid-year budget adjustment. Something like that is what I'd like to see. Adopt something so we meet the legal requirements. I also would like to see, guess what some of the community did recommend, that we do up our legal budget for right now. Because we, at least for right now, we need to up it to consider some of these expenses that are coming. And we need to possibly defer bankruptcy as an option as well. That's just my thoughts on it.
Director Sparks?
Well, a couple comments. First, you know, as long as I'm a board member, I will support the identification of directors, period, barring staff presenting me with a material fact to do otherwise. The issue that I think the board has, Mr. Schimpf, is that, you know, you're stating a projection of legal fees. And so the board made a decision to indemnify directors. So, and I think this is, I think we can't do anything without, I think we need from our legal counsel to continue on that path. If you put in what your projection of the fees are going to be, and I mean, if we think they're going to be there, then they should be in a budget. But then the board, I think, has to have, from our legal counsel, has to have something come back that we appropriate them, or if they're to appropriate to continue to do that, if they're going to be borrow from these fund reserves to fund administrative legal fees. And one reason I want to do that, because I don't want to get sued. Okay? So because, you know, because you get these suits about, you know, spending a fund. So I think you really need to talk to, I mean, it's my opinion, you really need to talk to Mr. Seitz, and that, you know, if we budget it, then it has to be appropriated. Is the budget the appropriation, or does it also have to have the appropriate resolution? Because when I look at the numbers and I look at the projections, it states that the only way you're going to be able to do that is to borrow from the reserves. And then that would require residents from the board to borrow from the reserves to pay legal fees, you know, on and on and on and on. So, I mean, the only other alternative is that you come back. I mean, I don't want to borrow from the reserves. So then I would ask you, if you're going to budget it, you come back with the plan that's going to keep the district without borrowing and how to pay for it, which means you're going to come back and you're going to, you know, your water rate study would have to account for the fact that you have these transfers that pay for the admin costs. I mean, that just is the way it would be factored in. And you'd have a franchise fee increase, and you'd have, the district basically, since the recall election of 05, you know, the admin, you know, SRF money and then pre-assessment money and then water rate revenue. And that's all kept these $1.1 million admin things going. And so, and what I'm seeing here is another, I'm not seeing an $885,000. I'm hearing it's, you know, another year of $1.1 million admin.
Mr. Sparks' conversation here. Mr. Barrow? Thank you.
Don't use my name in vain, dude. Please
You can leave the room now, please. All right, we'll take a break. We're just going to stop until Al.
I think you're, so that, those are my thoughts, Mr. Schimpf, is that, you know, to approve a budget, I don't want to approve a rosy scenario, you know, and I want to approve a budget, and because the budget, but the budget, it isn't the financial statements, the budget is the plan, and the plan is we're going to identify directors and we're going to fund them, and that's the plan. And then the other part of the plan is going to be how we're going to pay for it. And so I think when you come before this board, you need to have that budget, that plan, and not say, oh, we're going to, I don't want to, you know, and I know it's June 9th, and not, oh, we're going to change it in mid-year. Because, I mean, that, let's do the planning now. And so if it means that, you know, Mr. Seitz may come back and say, no, you can't increase the franchise fee. No, you can't. You can't plan. You know, he's going to tell you maybe there are limitations in what you can do, because at some point, you know, or no, and what if he says no, you can't borrow to appropriate this? then what does this board do? What does this board do? I mean, that's a whole other question that what we shouldn't even talk about here. That would be talked about in a different forum, I think. But, I mean, to me, that's the budget's a plan, and, you know, I've got to assume certain things are going to happen. So, and I don't envy you, but it's your job to give those answers to the board.
I gave the answers to the board, Mr. Sparks. I told you specifically that the other $500,000, if you need it, is going to have to come out of reserves. And so, it's not a question of borrowing. It's not a legal issue. It's an issue whether you want to do that or not. And that is the only option that you have available. You're not going to raise franchise fees. There's no way this budget is going to come up with $500,000.
So will we need a resolution to borrow from those LAF funds?
You probably will if that's what you want to do. But you don't have to cross that bridge tonight.
Okay, but so you're saying that's not part of the plan. The plan is just, we'll pretend that's not going to happen. That's what this budget says. You said you gave me the answer. And, I'm just trying to deal with reality.
Yes, Director Shaker.
Just adding to that question, then you put reserves in the budget. And you show the budget reserves, and you show that there. I guess that just be an extra page showing reserves in the budget.
Because I think what it says is when you come back with these reserves, we set the reserves, and that's the plan. We're going to set those reserves to nothing. Let's say last year they set all those reserves to $600,000 aggregate. This year, because the plan is to spend that money in legal, you're going to show that number. Well, I'm not going to, I don't know what you're going to do, but I would think you'd have no choice but to say, hey, here are these reserves. And unfortunately, when we were in bankruptcy court in whenever, I won't even go there.
I guess I'm curious about what a workshop would look like. This has taken 4.25 hours and could have gone on a lot longer. Without, I guess, a line-by-line examination of what really is involved in janitorial cleaning and how we can cut that budget. We wouldn't have to go line by line. You could start at the most expensive and go until you retired, I guess. We need to pass something by the 1st. We have a meeting on the 19th. Are there any other meeting date options available? Seem to me probably not, but I don't know. LOCAC's probably got the 25th, 24th, whatever that would be.
Is it the 24th? We have this room reserved for the 24th, if needed. That's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday. Okay.
Oh, yes. Just again, and again, I want to thank both you and Ampi for putting this together. I mean, there was a comment, it's incomprehensible and not a basis in fact, and I disagree. It's very comprehensible. I know it took a lot of work to get it to this point. It's not obviously not perfect, but and it's the facts are you have actuals that from previous years that you base this on, and I've thrown out some numbers, 9, based on actuals from even prior years. So to say there's no basis in fact is just incorrect, and to say it's incomprehensible is incorrect. It's difficult to go through, and particularly from the accounting side, it's easy for me to round numbers and do that, whereas, you know, you have the burden of the exactness, and so I appreciate the difficulty in doing that, Ampi.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments, too. I think you're right. There's a lot of fact in there. It's finding it and getting to it and what it really means, and I don't know what else there is to do tonight. We've kind of kicked this over. Tomorrow night we have 6:30 at the CSD office, Finance and Water Ops Committee, to go over this. And Mr. Margetson, you have...
All I've heard tonight is how bad this is, and yet this is based on previous year budgets.
It did, because, like, as you're going through, you're going to, as an example, you're going to see in each of the accounts or each of the budgets the outreach. If you guys want to eliminate it, you say, we're taking that out, and that's what happened that day. You know, this item's going. We're not going to do outreach in this account. We're not going to do it in that account. We're not going to do it. There's an item, you know, the one we had, the one we used to complain about all the time was the amount that was set aside for electric at the water department. Never hit the budgeted amount. It was like a contingency fund. They were always $25,000 short of the budgeted amount. But those were the discussions that happened, and that's where savings were realized at the end of the year. Well, if you hit that now and have those discussions and try to hone in a little tighter, you know, you may come up with the money. You're not going to come up with $500,000, but you may come up with, you know, $17,000 right off the bat in outreach. You know, there's a start. Even if you cut it to $7,000, there's $10,000 right off the bat you got.
Well, I do think we're better equipped to do that now after tonight and going through that. But whether we'll be able to finish it on the 19th or not, I don't know. Yes?
Heard a lot of negative comments about outreach. If you want to dissolve the district, canceling all outreach is probably the first good step. If you want to convince people that there's a reason to have a CSD, then I would suggest that outreach needs to be part of your budget.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of totally eliminating it. I also think that a good face-to-face with the county might go a long ways toward ending that discussion about dissolution out here. If their stance is still the same, and the fact that they haven't accepted the wastewater project yet, that's an invitation for the water board to suit up again. And Director Sennett.
Well, you know, we could also readjust our district responsibilities and approach LAFCO and the county to take over some of the drainage funds, the estates, the Cabrillo and things like that. Those are the drainages on, slight drainage on our district, and it might be beneficial to look into seeing if the county would take those over, because they have more administrative ability to increase the fees and do those things. So that's just like an interim thing that we might try to do to ease the burden.
Okay, closing comments from directors tonight. Anybody have anything that they want to offer up?
Just
want to thank, for the benefit of the high school's cross-country and track teams, I want to thank Ron Roundy for his years of sponsorship of those fun runs and runs. It raises a lot of money for the high school athletes, and the cross-country and track teams have done very well over the years. So I wore one of his shirts tonight. And next one, Oktoberfest, everybody should get in for community spirit. As many people as possible running these fun runs and get some exercise.
Saw their cars, saw their emails, and I appreciate all the work that you did. I know what you put in to try to get something for us tonight under these difficult times. And we all deserve a thanks. And maybe in the light of what Lawson said, you know, forgiveness is the best thing we can try to do right now. And it is, of course it's hard. Of course it's hard for all of us. And I just want peace. That's all I've ever wanted. I wanted peace and I wanted a project. And I never could understand why there was so much resistance to that. And I totally believe in the democratic process. And that's why I'm here volunteering most of my time, and thanks and good night.
I just wanted to say that although I don't want to diminish the concern over the legal fees and what the potential liabilities would be, I think it's premature to banter around the possibility of dissolution as a remedy for the excessive bills should they come. I don't think these cases have gone to a conclusion, and there are still a lot of uncertain things as to how far they'll proceed. So our expenses really aren't defined. It's all speculation at this point, and I think dissolution is a little severe to apply, given the uncertainty.
I just want to say a lot of thank yous tonight. Ampi, thank you. I know what you mean to Mr. Schempf and the district. Helping a clear picture of the financial situation out here is what everybody in this room has wanted for a long time. And we appreciate your help in getting there. And Mr. Schempf, yours too. Karen and Jan worked on the weekend. Thank you very much. Everybody here that cares, thank you. And that includes the gentleman that left the room earlier. I thank him for caring too. And I apologize to all of you for losing my temper. Good night.